much about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Who are these crazies, these lunatics that are going to be here? Explain them to me. Because if I'm going to do some kind of a dumb dog and pony show, I'm going to know who I'm talking to.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Kevin and Bean show is my life's inspiration of to be what I am inside me, that just bring it out and project what I have, what I got.
What a dork.
We try and teach our children not to make fun of others who are challenged.
I beg your pardon.
20,000 fans descended on Manhattan's South Street Seaport to see breakout raper Drake.
Instantly, I regret saying that.
Tomorrow on The Insider, TV's 500-pound man who loves being super obese. Tomorrow on The Insider.
And now, our feature presentation.
This is the best of Kevin Bean Show.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Does it look like he's not going to make it after all?
What? I mean, there's,
isn't that a song?
There's no looking like. I mean, he's not here.
Yeah.
Did he get back from San Diego? Does anyone know?
Yes, because I saw it. By the way, it's Kevin and Bean Show. We got your calls coming up for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew Monday edition. You can call us right now, toll free. Get on the air, get a prize. 1-800-520-1067. Yeah, a listener tweeted, poor unfortunate guy got into that Super Secret Rage show on Friday night, and unfortunately was standing behind Kevin, so really couldn't see the stage at all.
He saw nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
Just a picture of Kevin's giant noggin. That's all he was able to get.
Dave was telling me that people were screaming at Kevin at the Rage show, so he definitely made it back to L.A. somehow.
Okay, but then do we know if he left the Rage show ever?
Don't know.
We don't know.
I don't think he's still there, if that's what you're asking.
Somewhere in a corner, crumpled.
Screaming encore.
He definitely cuts it super close. There's no question about that. I mean, you can't accuse Kevin of being dedicated to getting to work on time. You can't accuse him of making that a priority.
No.
But it is unusual when he's this late. He's certainly usually here within a minute of the open of the show.
He's usually here for the beginning of the show. He just cuts it. I mean, I just always have faith that he's going to walk in with 10 seconds left.
Yes.
And that's
going to
happen.
And fumble with his headphones
didn't
and almost
this morning.
Get on the air.
Before we get to your calls, though, here's an awesome story. 3 o'clock in the morning, Douglas County, Colorado. A family is awakened when they hear an automobile outside, and the horn is honking, 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 honking. 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
They jump up, look outside, realize their car is missing. It's not in the driveway anymore. What's up with that? They go outside. Their car is 125 feet away from the driveway out in the yard. Okay?
Wow.
What's in the car? Beep, beep, beeping the horn, but a black bear.
Who has
crawled into their car because their kid had left a peanut butter sandwich in the car. So the bear had crawled into the car, and I'd love to see video of this, but at some point was able to A, shift the car into neutral so it starts rolling down the hill, and B, as it's rolling down the hill, apparently, the door closes that he came in on. So now he's stuck in the car with the horn, and the horn, leaning on the horn, tearing up the stereo, tearing up the airbags, trying to get out of the car, freaking out. The police show up. They're standing there. Let's face it, police do a great job. They get a lot of training. How do you handle that one? What do you do when you've got a car with a bear in it?
You open the door and run.
Well, that's exactly what they did, is they tied a rope to the door and cracked it a little bit so that it would pull open with the rope once they got further away from it. And then the bear crawled out and walked away.
At least he had the sense to honk.
Yeah, at least he did. He might still be there if he hadn't.
The same reason he threw it into gear is the same reason he got stuck is the same reason he was honking. It's because cars are designed for humans, and that bear's probably about 550.
You think he was too big and couldn't help but lean on the horn?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My theory.
His 40-inch arms also hit the gear shift without meaning to. And he was stuck because, like I said, designed for the human, not the 550 guy.
I think the bear was trying to drive away with the sandwich.
I'm sure he was.
The bear was thinking, this walking is BS.
Exactly. Look what they got.
Why can't I drive?
Driving home.
Anyway, so they say the car is totaled on the inside. It was a 2008 Toyota Corolla, and he did leave a gift on the front seat.
Well, he panicked. It happens.
I know. He had the fear. What can
exactly.
he do? He had the fear and he couldn't get to the woods. So, anyway, that's an awesome story. I'd like, again, noted for the record, please, no death. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew for Monday is on the air. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
How about a pair of tickets to the Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing Series? It's coming up August 7th and 8th, which is a weekend that will be here before you know it. It says here at the Glen Helen Raceway, I bet they mean Glen Helen. That's the prize you get for getting on for Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew. Why don't we start with, let's start with Jimmy, who's calling with the big news out of Comic-Con down in San Diego this weekend. Hey, Jimmy, welcome to the show. What's going on, dude?
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Yeah. Did you hear about, I guess apparently two men were ready to watch the Captain America preview or some kind of preview, and they got an argument over seats, and one of them stabbed the other in the face.
Nice.
Yes, I did. And for the longest, stabbed him with a pen, Lisa, and for the longest time, the rumors were going around, this has to be some sort of promotion for something. they had to have done this on purpose to get people talking so that we can then find out that it's promoting some movie or TV show. But it apparently was a real fight, right?
Yeah, apparently it was, and he got hurt pretty good.
Stabbed in the face with a pen.
Yes.
Oh, my
good times.
God.
Good times. But thanks for the call, dude. But you know what? And we've talked about this a little bit on Friday when we were broadcasting from a Comic-Con. Considering there's close to 200,000 people there, you'd be hard-pressed to find a more peaceful group of people and less aggression in a crowd
Comic-Con. That's what I was telling Lisa before we went on the air. I said, the city's it's overrun and it's overcrowded.
Yeah.
But it's such a positive vibe, considering. I mean, there's people pushing and whatnot, but it's such a positive and happy environment that I can't wait to go back. I loved it.
Yeah. So, I mean, if one guy got stabbed in the face, I mean, you would have had a lot more fights than that and crime than that in any small town with that many people. Hey, Ralph Garman, how are you, man?
Good. Not to ruin the buzz of the story, but that actually
is there more?
Happened at the end of one of the panels I hosted.
Uh-oh. Oh, no
after
kidding.
We oh, you
did,
were there.
After we did Resident Evil 4, Afterlife, they were clearing the Hall H where we were doing our panel. I think it was a Harry Potter panel was coming up next. And there was a scuffle for seating because some people will sit there all day and see all the panels. And I think apparently some people wanted to sit together and there was an argument and there was a scuffle and someone got scratched in the face with a pen.
Oh, they didn't get stabbed.
They didn't get stabbed in the face. No. But the story's going around the comic. I was like, a guy had a samurai sword and he chopped his head off. I mean, he got blown out of proportion. There was a scuffle and apparently somebody got scratched in the face with a pen. So
it definitely got reported as stabbed, though. That's for sure.
I know it did, but it wasn't the case.
By the way, and you got to go to KevinBean.com. Speaking of Ralph's panels, wait till you see Mia Jovovich in the pictures of the panel from what you did. My
yes.
God.
My buddy Mila Jovovich and I were hanging out after.
How unbelievable does she look?
She is a stunner and could not be sweeter. She is just sweet as pie. And Allie Larder was also there and also was just adorable. Paul Anderson, her husband and also the creator of the Resident Evil series, also was backstage hanging out. And just really, really nice people for the most part. All the celebrities I had to deal with for these panels where we talked about the movies and took questions and answers from the audience, almost every one of them could not have been happier to be there and kinder to the fans and nicer to those of us who were working with them. So it was really a good experience.
Is that Big Head Kevin?
Nope.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Kevin.
It's an albino gorilla just burst in the room and started eating our peanut butter and jelly sandwich and honking the horn.
We should talk about that bear they got in the car.
Yeah, we should. You're right. Mm.
What happened to your foolproof system where you were able to get any place with 30
here.
Seconds to spare?
I was sitting out in front of the gate while you were playing 30 Seconds to Mars, and then I was looking for my card, and I realized, oh, I can't find my card, so I can't get in.
Right.
Uh-huh. So then I was looking for my cell phone, and I can't find my cell phone. So now I'm sitting out there going, what do I do, scale the fence? Like, I can't call. Oh, there's that call box you're supposed to push. Mm-hmm. You know, *24 or something, and that doesn't work. It's just not connected to anything.
You know, so you just have to wait till somebody else showed up?
Yes.
A bear in a car that was trapped in the car was able to get more attention and get help quicker than you were.
That's true. I was completely helpless. I was just sitting there listening to you guys. Mike was doing the drunk voice, and Lisa was making fun of me for grabbing the headphones and falling. And I heard it all. I was sitting right out there going, sure can't do anything.
That is the funniest thing ever.
Sure can't call anyone.
You need to start to pack a ladder.
I do.
If only you knew you needed that key card to get into the building every time you came to work, you could put it someplace where you'd know
that's
where to be.
That's new today, though, right?
No, it's been that way for, well, forever.
Oh.
Hey, just real quick, and I do want to get to Sergio's call in a second, but real quick, let's just go around the room, because we all have the same job, right? We all go to the same place every day.
Yes.
Ralph, how many times since the key card system began have you lost yours or been unable to find it when you arrived at the building?
Oh, let me see. One, two, three, never.
All right, I'll put you down for zero. How about you, Lisa May?
I have lost my card.
Okay.
Walked in with it in the little plastic case, and then... it wasn't there.
How many times, though?
I think I've
a
lost
dozen,
it
25?
Twice.
What?
You've twice. Lost your card twice.
Yes.
Wow.
Twice? Okay. Psycho Mike?
I'm in the Garmin category, zero.
Okay. Kevin?
Hundreds.
All right.
You probably don't really like a dozen keys.
I have a system.
Right.
Which sucks my ass.
Yeah, it's the worst system ever.
But as soon as the system changes up at all, then I'm screwed. So a lot of times I'll leave it in my shorts or I'll put it in my car. But this past weekend we went to San Diego, then I put it in my backpack.
And you were using it in San Diego all day, sure. So and that was going on.
And I didn't want to carry it around. So when I put it in my backpack, I thought, this is going to screw me on Monday. But no, this time I'll remember.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I didn't.
If that's your system...
it's not a good one?
It's time to change the system.
Keep it with your driver's license is what I've been telling you all along. You always have your driver's license with you when you drive to work, right?
Nope. Have you ever seen Kevin's pockets? It looks like Dennis the Menace. He pulls out like a ball of string and a frog and a harmonica.
How dare you?
$400 in fives and ones and like some jacks and some Tic Tacs that are loose floating around and his license sometimes not. He has no wallet. He has no function. He lives like an 8-year-old.
I can't help with that. I don't know what.
All right, Sergio, what to say to that.
Now I'm sorry we're out of time. Brian, Ray, you guys hang on. We'll have to take your calls tomorrow. If you please do us the favor of calling back. We appreciate that.
I'm not here. You guys can't take calls?
We're out of time now. We're out of time now.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Amicho, shall we?
You and the horse you rode in on.
I agree with that guy.
That guy's going to be on the show today, by the way. How excited are you?
We have a guy by the name of Jack Rebney, who is Winnebago Man.
Oh, yeah! Winnebago Man.
The Winnebago Man, the angriest man in the world.
If you haven't seen this, go to kevinandbean.com, top right-hand search bar, type in Winnebago Man, and he'll come up with the Internet Roundup, and he is awesome.
He's angry.
He's me. He's my father. He has to be my father. His mind does not work. He can't remember two words. Mm-hmm. He doesn't understand the script that he wrote. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And so somebody took all of the outtakes of this guy and put them together. And for a long time, because he did this like in the late 80s, they passed it around on VHS. Do you remember that?
Yes.
You remember VHS?
I do.
They would make a copy of it and give it to a friend. They would make it. That's how it got around. And then finally, they put it on YouTube.
But now there's a documentary about that man. So we find out what happened that fateful day and what he's like today.
You are getting on in years. You and the horse you rode in on.
Thank you. I wonder how you're going to feel about this when you're 80 years old.
That's what you get from Jack. That's Jack's whole thing right there.
He is my favorite person. Dick Cheney is a zombie. We'll tell you about that. We've been teasing it for too long. We got to get to it.
Okay.
Although I don't think there's going to be a change anytime soon. Ryan Sheckler will be on the program as the X Games are this weekend.
Right.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We have TMZ we're going to talk to about all the celebrities. And we have some interviews that we did after Friday's show in San Diego at the Comic-Con that we find fascinating. One about the Expendables, Randy Couture and Steve Austin.
Oh, yeah, that looks great.
We're going to talk about that. We got Roger Corman, who, of course, is the legendary producer who came up with the idea for, or is at least the executive producer of Sharktopus.
Yay! Oh, yeah.
Which Ralph, of course, has a major starring role in. He is the shark or the tipus.
I don't think he's playing either of those. I don't think you have that right.
And a little actor by the name of Jeff Bridges.
How about that, huh?
Who's starring
Tron himself?
Who's starring in Tron? How many years did we? What is it? 30?
27, I think.
27 years later.
It's the longest there has ever been a wait between a sequel for live action movies, apparently.
Well, we talked to him about that. We talked to him about why did it interest him and a bunch of stuff like that. So that's coming up this morning as well. We will take a quick break and come back with the showbiz.
One of the biggest names in the history of UFC and one of the biggest names in the history of the WWE. Together, Randy Couture and Stone Cold Steve Austin with us, Kevin and Bean. We taped him in Comic-Con on Friday talking about their new film, The Expendables, coming up after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on, Ralph?
I'm surprised it wasn't like matter and antimatter when you guys met. Because you have two of the biggest, most masculine, muscular, like formidable men in the world.
And then you have Randy Couture and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And then we have you guys. I think it'd be like an explosion. It would be like the Big Bang and just rock the world and just a big black hole would result.
They could have killed us with their eyes if that's what you're suggesting.
That's what I'm suggesting.
And they wanted to several times, but they held back.
They're because they were on a press tour. They had to be nice. Yeah. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? My buddy Angelina Jolie had a good weekend.
Because she got to meet Ralph Garman.
Well, there's that. And also because her new movie, Salt, debuted this weekend. Although it didn't beat the number one film, which was Inception again, with an additional $43.5 million. Salt debuted with a very respectable $36.5 million.
Did you see that, Ralph?
I saw a bunch of it, but I haven't seen the whole thing yet.
Did Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin
in the movie?
Yeah, in the movie. She stops in the movie and says, is Kevin out there in the audience watching the film? I'm curious.
Bit of a stretch.
Despicable Me was third. The Sorcerer's Apprentice was fourth. Toy Story and Grown Ups took the 5 and 6 slots. The Twilight Saga Eclipse was seventh. Last Airbender, Ramona and Beezus, and Predators. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Good news for Hollywood. Good news for those of us who like television and movies. The threatened Teamster strike has been averted.
Ah, thank God.
In a last-minute agreement, the Teamsters said yes to the last, best, and final offer coming from the studios and producers, averting a strike that would really have crippled Hollywood production. So the good news is they've ratified the new agreement, and they get a 2-year, 2% pay increase. The 2-year deal with a 2% pay increase. Of course, they were looking for 3. That was the sticking point. But they finally said, oh, we'd rather work.
Yeah, good for them.
Than not. So everybody's happy about that. Trouble on the set of Celebrity Rehab.
Oh, how could there be?
People Magazine is reporting that Melissa Cunningham, who is the wife of actor Jeremy London.
Isn't a celebrity and got kicked off?
She isn't a celebrity. Oh. But she was being treated there at the Pasadena Recovery Center. However, she went there, suffered a brain hemorrhage.
Mm.
Wow.
Shortly after checking in.
Oh, my God.
Wait, is she on Celebrity Rehab also? Not just Jeremy Lin? Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
She's now recovering at home. Jeremy is by her side. And his representative says she's still pursuing sobriety, but she's busy right now trying to get her brain to stop bleeding.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So, I've always said, Dr. Drew, hack. You go in for rehab, you end up with a brain bleed.
You've never said that.
He is not a good medical professional is what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, he's not a real doctor. He got his degree by mail. Everybody knows that.
None of that is true.
Bad things will happen if you are his patient. That's what I'm telling you.
Also not true.
Ask Jeff Conaway. Dr. Drew tied into some train tracks once and threatened him with an axe. I heard the story, Kevin. Yeah, it was on the show.
He went in there, a Olympic-level gymnast.
Yes. Came out in a wheelchair. Dr. Drew will kill you given the chance.
That's not true.
That's all I'm telling you.
At all.
Speaking of Angelina Jolie, she and husband or regular dude, I guess they're not really married,
partner,
Brad Pitt, have added on to their vast real estate portfolio once again. They picked up a little house in Italy, Valpolicella, Italy. Apparently, it's a lovely little villa. It's got a little home gym, a theater room, swimming pools, jacuzzi.
Couple hundred grand?
$40 million.
Oh, my God.
$40
million. God.
$40 million.
Wow.
She spent more for the house this weekend than Salt made.
Wow.
That's all I'm telling you. It seems like bad business to me.
I need to have sex with her.
I'm sorry, what happened now?
I need to have sex.
That's not going
to
happen.
Although I think I would get cut up on her bones. She needs to put on like 10, 20 pounds.
Cut up on her bones?
Seriously, she's too skinny.
She's
too skinny.
She's beautiful.
She is. She's really amazingly beautiful.
She is a stunner. And I've said this before, it's her energy and her persona that when she walks into a room really affects you even more so than how she looks. She just takes over a room when she walks in. She's one of those people. Mm-hmm. You know, it was another one of those people? John Hamm.
Don Draper!
Don Draper!
Oh! I just think you're so good. I would. Come on, show me.
Did you? I was almost going to ask Kevin. Did you see last night's season premiere of Mad Men?
I love your show.
I'm on scene one. Episode one, season one.
I'm making fun of you.
Line one.
For being drunk right in his face.
I lost the DVD, but I hope to find it with my key card and my wallet.
Ralph, without giving without spoiling it for anybody, because there are people who have not watched it yet because it's on late Sunday night.
Spoiler alert.
How awesome was that episode?
To the mother effing some.
And by the way, Kevin, we've been telling you all along this would be a great time to pick up on the show because it's a total reset button starting last night. It's a year later, and they reintroduce everybody, and you can get right back into the thick of things. I mean, it's
more
enjoyable.
What are you talking about?
It's more enjoyable if you've been following it all along, but you could start watching Mad Men this season and like it is what I'm telling you.
What are you talking about?
Kevin, I got a lot on my plate. Yeah. You don't have room for the best hour of television there is.
He's busy looking for his wallet and his key card and stuff.
Well, that's true.
And some final Comic-Con news over the weekend. Seth MacFarlane, creator of Family Guy, was down there doing a panel with the rest of the cast and writers from that show. And they made an announcement which made me very happy. They said you can look forward to the return of Down Syndrome Girl on the series. This, of course, was the character that made headlines for angering former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin. The staff said they love the character and she will be back. Mark Henteman was the writer who did that particular episode, and he said, "I wrote that episode. And this season I decided I'd even things out and write something that would offend some smart people." Going to do something.
That's real talk right there, man.
Word. You should write something about a baby grizzly. That would make her happy. Today's celebrity birthdays, Mick Jagger, the Rolling Stones.
Yes, I'm Mick Jagger with my giant lips.
He's 67 years old today.
Hasn't he looked 67 for 20 years?
He's a Sharpay. He absolutely is. But Jumpin' Jack Flash is now... like limping Jack Flash. Doesn't really jump so much anymore at 67. Actress Helen Mirren is 65 years old today. I thought Bean would absolutely bell her.
Yeah, I know.
Believe me. I find her hot, but I've been beaten down on the bell so much.
Screw you. If you bell Betty White.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to bell Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren, no, good looking woman.
No,
I don't mind telling you.
No, but you can't give her a 20. Hey, 30 years ago, she was hot, Belle.
She's
hot
pictures? Now,
though.
She's
beautiful.
See those photos of her in that bathing suit?
She looks good.
Climbing onto that yacht that came out last year. It was ridiculous how good she looked.
Yeah, she does look great. Oh, see, this is why I didn't bother opening that door, Ralph.
Good, don't.
Kevin Spacey's 51 years old today. Sandra Bullock celebrates her 46th birthday. That can't be right, can it? Sandra Bullock, 46?
She looks amazing.
She looks ridiculous for 46. Oh. Actor Jeremy Piven turns 45 years old today. Chris Hansen, host of The Bachelor, is 39. No, I'm sorry, Chris Harrison. Hansen hosts something completely else.
I have to watch
else.
The Bachelor.
Chris Hansen hosts Little Bachelor. It's a different show.
Very different.
Kate Beckinsale is 37 years old today, and actress Taylor Momsen from Gossip Girl is 17 years old today. Bean, you might want to get
sorry.
Up.
Oh, sorry.
The little bell.
There you go.
I didn't realize she was just 17.
Although the way she lives her life, she deserves the full bell. She's
give her
in
the bell.
Bars, swilling booze, and partying, and dancing on tables. She's hardly a minor, is what I'm saying.
Give her the bell.
All right, that's it.
But now she's 17, so give her the other one.
Now I'm confused.
Slap that bell.
She's right on the line.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
X Games 16 coming to Los Angeles this week. We've got tickets for you every day this week and an interview with Ryan Sheckler coming up on 106.7 KROQ. It's 6:09. Friday morning, this is the Kevin and Bean Show. Friday morning, we had a bunch of interviews down at Comic-Con, which was fantastic. But we didn't have time for all of them. So after the show, we went out and did some more interviews.
You are hardworking mofos.
That's not the point, though.
We
talked to Jeff Corbin, of course, who is the executive producer of Sharktopus. We talked to Jeff Bridges about Tron. And we talked to a couple of people you might have heard of about a little movie called The Expendables.
It promises to be the best action movie of the summer. Maybe the best action movie of all time, ladies and gentlemen. Talking about The Expendables, August 13th. Stop me if I'm wrong here, Kevin, but I understand Sylvester Stallone wrote and stars in the movie. Is that
That's
right?
Correct, yes.
Jason Statham?
Yes.
Bruce Willis?
Check.
Governor Schwarzenegger?
Yep.
Jet Li? Mickey Rourke?
Yep.
Dolph Lundgren?
Sure.
Terry Crews?
Yes.
And how about the guys who are sitting right here in front of us, ladies and gentlemen?
No,
I think they're
in it.
Oh,
they are in it.
Randy Couture, Steve Austin. How are you guys?
Good. How are you guys?
Good morning. Good morning.
We can't believe this is real, and I'm sure you hear this all the time, but from the minute this thing was rumored, I'm sure the world thought, well, it's impossible to get that many guys in one movie, right?
I don't know about Steve, but I couldn't believe it was real either.
to be in this movie was a huge experience for me. It was great.
So when they came to you, it was an easy answer.
Yeah, there was no question.
And guys like you, I would imagine, just being macho guys, the chance to just hang out with Sylvester Stallone. I mean, that alone has got to be a dream.
That had a definite cool factor to it. I remember when I heard about the movie, I was in South Texas hanging out at my ranch, and I heard about the Expendables being put together. And then, alas, all the Expendables were cast, but all was not lost. And a chance with a meeting with Sly at his office there in Beverly Hills, and met the guy. We hit it off like we'd known each other for 10 years, and the guy offered me the job on the spot, and I took the job on the spot. And it was a thrill working with Sly, first of all, because I grew up watching everything he did, and then to work with the rest of the cast and to actually fight Randy Couture and come out alive was a big deal for me.
Yeah, you don't often get a chance to see the UFC and the WWE guys going at each other at the same time.
You know what, though? But we could sell some tickets if we ever did it. But like I say, hey, I'm a big fan of Randy and his fight career, but I tell everybody I was glad I was fighting him on the movie set and not in the octagon.
Now, you guys are fighting because which one of you is good and which one of you is bad?
Well, it's all a matter of perspective, I suppose.
Who are you, Randy?
I was one of the Expendables.
All right.
And good guy.
Yeah. And Steve was, yeah, definitely the antagonist in this movie.
How tough is it? I mean, look, Sly's written some great scripts. He's talented at it, but there's a lot of juggling involved to have enough for that many guys to do in one movie, right? I mean, it's got to be fairly intricate to make it all work.
Well, I was there for a lot of obviously my coverage, and my boss in the movie was Eric Roberts, and I'm not extensively dialogue heavy, but, from Randy, obviously he's going to have a different point of view on that than I.
Well, I think that was the thing. I think Sly did a great job of kind of giving everybody their moment in the movie. We all kind of have our own specialties, both in real life and in the movie, and we bring our own audiences, and he wanted to kind of spread it out and make sure everybody had their moment.
What is your nickname, and what's your specialty?
My nickname is Toll Road.
Toll Road.
That's my name in the movie. Yeah,
and they're going with that? That's the final? That's the
Yeah, Toll Road. You're going to get past me, you're going to have to pay.
Oh, I like that.
Nice.
How about you, Steve?
I am Dan Payne. Dan Payne. P-A-Y-N-E. Okay. Yeah. Pun intended.
We mentioned Mr. Stallone, who directed and wrote the movie. You guys have a fight scene that you won. Tell us about that, because somebody went to the hospital.
Oh, the one with me and Sly?
Yeah.
You know, that was an interesting 2 days at the office, because I was in the fight camp learning to fight with those guys in New Orleans. I mean, sweating my ass off. And then we roll on set, and we go to do the movie, and the first thing that happens is a gigantic headbutt. Well, when you headbutt Sly, it was a double headbutt, but it's your fault, or my fault. So, anyway, it was a very intense fight, and I think, speaking about all of the fights, everybody put forth their maximum effort because everybody wants their piece to kind of stand out. And certainly myself and Sly wanted to do that same thing. And the thing I learned about working with Sly is intensity, because for 2 days straight, the lead actor, the writer, and the director is telling me, Steve, hit me harder. Bring it. We want to make this real. And so we did. And he ended up in the hospital. But
fractured? Said, not that hard.
Well, when that guy is telling you to whip his ass, you whip his ass.
Was it overstated in the press, or did you really break something?
When I think of a broken neck coming from my background, I just think death and devastation. Okay, but I think it was a case of him being in so many movies, doing so much physicality, that I think that the fight did take its toll on him. But he weathered the storm, and I think it probably bothered him for the rest of shooting, but it was something he got fixed later. Yeah. But definitely, it was a real deal for him.
That's the voice of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Randy Couture is here, too, on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about The Expendables, which opens up on August the 13th. Would it kill you to put a chick in the movie?
There's a couple chicks in
Are
the
there?
Movie. Yeah.
They were manly chicks. But
How much
Sure Charisma is going to appreciate that.
Sorry, I wasn't there on her coverage. My bad.
How many of these guys were you all meeting for the first time? Because, for those of us who aren't in your business and macho guys like you, we like to think you all live together in a big mansion somewhere. But had you met guys like Statham before and Jet Li and those guys?
I had. My first movie experience was Cradle to the Grave with Jet Li. And I had a fight scene with him. And that was kind of the eye-opener for me, kind of the process of making movies and created the intrigue and interest in pursuing it further. I'd met Jason through fighting. He's a big fight fan. He comes to a lot of the fights, and I'd met him a couple times there.
Everybody else has to learn to fight for a movie like this. You know how to fight. You have to back off or fight differently, right?
Yeah, I have to learn how not to fight,
right?
How not to actually hit guys. And that first movie experience with Jed, I basically ran him over. I was supposed to hit him with a right hand, And his whole thing in the movie was he kept his hand in his pocket and dodged everything, got out of the way. Well, he didn't get out of the way. And so everybody freaked out because I laid him out. And I didn't hit him, but I literally ran him over.
Just instinct.
Well, I threw the punch right from my cheek, launched into it, and he's used to people winding up. And so he could have gotten out of the way, but he didn't.
All right, we're almost out of time here. I haven't seen the movie yet, so forgive me if this is a dumb question, but do enough of you survive for there to be still more Expendables, or is this going to be it?
I'll pass on that one. As the villain of the movie, what do you think?
Okay. New villain next time.
All the Expendables survive. We'll put it that way.
Well, we can't tell you how. Hey, there's room for Michael Cera to take over your role in the next movie, right? We'll be fine. We can't tell you how excited we are about hanging out with you guys here, and also looking forward to the Expendables opening everywhere August the 13th from Lionsgate. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, guys, very much.
How did we find out about Ralph Garman and a previously unseen television gem, at least to our eyes, from the 1980s? Where did this come from, Ralph?
We got an email, a link from somebody, right?
It came from a friend of producer Alex, who works on the Game Show Network.
Ah, okay.
And apparently they were doing some kind of research, and they were looking at old tapes of old game shows, and they came across this, and I thought it was so funny because I had completely forgotten I'd even done this until she sent that link to me. And Alex said, "Have you seen this?" And I said, "Oh, wow,
I remember. Everybody has kind of a specialty. Bean specializes in stuff no one cares about, like flies humming the key of F.
Mm-hmm.
But Ralph, when it comes to pop culture and television, he's Rain Man.
Yeah, he's really good at that.
And there's a TV show that they very, very creatively named.
It's time for the game that takes you back in time. Let's go back. And now, here's the host of Let's Go Back, Scott Sternberg.
Is this in the 50s?
Woo!
Yeah, it does sound like a kinescope.
Wow. We shot it in the 50s, yeah. I had to actually go back in time.
You're so much older than I thought you were.
No, I just traveled through time.
Yeah.
Okay. So the host asked Ralph about himself.
And Ralph, tell us about you.
Hi, Scott. I'm Ralph Garman, originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I've been out here for about 5 years now, and I'm a bartender in the local area.
All right. 70s and 80s might be a little bit stronger for you?
I know 50s and 60s pretty well, but 70s was really my decade when I sat in front of the couch and didn't do much else and watched television.
Yeah, that's a lie. In that the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s are all your specialty.
Don't pigeonhole me, bitch. That's what I felt like saying to him.
Bro.
What do you think? You want to bring it? Bring it.
I'm not kidding. After you hear this, you're going to agree with the contestant who says, "Why are we here?" And you're going to think Ralph is Rain Man. Definitely got to watch TV. Got to watch TV today. Got to watch TV. Here's one question and answer by Ralph.
Life imprisonment was ordered in 1966 for mass murderer Albert DeSalvo, better known by this gruesome nickname. Ralph.
The Boston Strangler.
It was the Boston Strangler. Ralph, now on the board.
All right, he's on the board. Good. Okay. Everybody else is thinking, all right, he got that one. It's okay. We're still in it.
1958, this trio sold more singles than any other artist as they begged, "Please, Christmas, don't be late." Ralph.
The Chipmunks.
The Chipmunks is right.
All right, now, the other contestants are thinking, okay, he got two, but the next one
he
is all mine.
Pause.
We don't have time to play them individually. So we put together a montage. Of Ralph just basically killing his opponents.
Running the board.
I'm not sure they spoke. Listen to this.
Ralph.
Petticoat Junction.
Correct. Ralph.
Lee Majors.
It was Lee Majors. Go again. Ralph again.
Ben.
It was Ben. Ralph, now 50 in the lead. Ralph.
One Day at a Time.
Was One Day at a Time. Ralph again.
Raging Bull.
Yes. Ralph.
Marielle Hemingway.
Good. Three in a row for you, Ralph. Ralph.
Santa Barbara.
Yes. Ralph.
Three Dog Night.
Yeah. Three Dog Night. Ralph.
Eddie Rabbit.
Yes, it was Eddie Rabbit. Ralph.
I'm Walking.
I'm Walking. Can you sing any of that?
I'm Walking. Yes, indeed. No, I'm talking about you.
Ralph.
Phil Foster.
Phil Foster is right. And it's Ralph.
Jack Lemmon.
Jack Lemmon. Once again, Ralph. Go. Ralph.
Father Murphy.
Father Murphy. Right again. Go again, Ralph. Ralph.
Rocket Man.
Rocket Man. Right again. Ralph.
On the Road Again.
On the Road Again. Can you sing this one, too?
On the Road Again. I just can't wait to get on the road again.
Ralph again.
Noxzema.
Correct, you are, Ralph. Go again.
Why are we here?
You hear that guy? Why are we here?
Yeah, he wasn't happy with me.
And
that
can you imagine being one of the other contestants of Ralph's, not only getting all the answers, but singing song? Oh, he sings too. FM, he
you're co-hosting too. The show at this point too. You're Ken Jennings before there was a Ken Jennings.
when it he was the guy on Jeopardy who won like 9 billion episodes in a row.
Unprecedented run, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ralph, when you came to town, didn't you go on a lot of game shows? I mean, that's kind of how you supplemented your income when you first moved to Los Angeles.
I went on every game show I could find because I was flat broke, and this was one of the ways I kept going. When I was a starving actor, I'd go on game shows.
Your knowledge of everything is unbelievable.
It really isn't, though.
It is.
But it's not like I can't take any credit for it because I didn't like study for it or anything. I just have one of those brains that the stuff just sticks. That's all. I'm the opposite of you.
You're the opposite of me in every way.
I don't have to, you know, see something a lot for it just to stick in my memory, and I'm able to pull it up. It's like a party trick. I don't take any credit for it.
We should play a game on this show where people try to stump him on TV trivia because
he
knows. He'll sit there and tell you like, oh yeah, he wasn't the star, but he was like the fifth down star, and then he'll give you the info on him. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So here's the end of the show.
We're going to take a look at these scores. Ralph, way out in the lead. You did very well today.
Thanks, guy.
Why? How?
I don't know. Divine inspiration. I just can't explain it.
Why? How? I spent a lot of time watching TV.
A lot of money?
Yeah.
Wait. Don't tell.
Okay.
I want them to hear. After all of that, which
was
an amazing performance, listen to the winnings that Ralph collected.
In which decade did the Soviet Union put the first woman into space? Ralph.
60s.
Yes, 1963. And Ralph, you're our winner. $500 for you, Ralph. Good game. Real good game. That decades round was very, very good. You all got in there. A lot of interesting answers. But, Ralph, you did come out ahead. You got $500. You got the Mao Nixon ping pong paddles.
Yeah, the Happy Days.
You got the Happy Days Model A. You swept us. You got everything.
He got $500.
Yeah.
These are your prizes?
Yes. That was the grand prize.
That was the grand prize.
$500.
He also now, got the Mao Nixon ping pong paddle.
I got Mao Nixon ping pong paddles.
Do you still have that, Ralph? That'd be worth a lot on eBay today.
Sure, I still have
those. He didn't care because while the guy was telling about the Mao Nixon ping pong paddles, he's like, I got the Happy Days thing too, right?
And I got the Happy Days Model A that Richie used to drive, the model of the Happy Days car. See, they're all like the decade themed prizes as well.
That's it, though.
Wow.
After all of that, shouldn't he have won like $1 million?
Do you? I won on every game show. Regardless of really what they were offering, so that was important to me.
Did you win them all?
All the game shows?
Yes.
No, not all of them. No.
How?
No. Match Ralph, game. I came in second. Match
how
game.
Did Let's Go Back work? Did you get to come back as returning champion, or is it
nope,
on
one,
and, one time and you're gone?
It was a one-off.
Oh, they couldn't afford Ralph.
Yeah,
you
can't give away all those prizes.
I would own that show. By
we
the
only
end
have
of it.
One set of Mao Nixon ping pong paddles, and they're gone.
Ryan Shuckler on the program today, and we'll give you tickets for X Games 16 hitting Southern California starting Thursday. Also, Dick Cheney is a zombie, and we got more interviews from our trip to San Diego for Comic-Con on the way, including Oscar-winning actor Jeff Bridges. By the way, coolest guy in the world, Lisa.
Yeah.
You're sitting there in front of Jeff Bridges. You're going, he's the dude. What am I doing talking to the dude?
And he's so laid back.
He can't
bring
up the dude because it's been so long.
Right.
And he's got Tron coming out and all that stuff. So
He's so awesome, though. Anyway, all that straight ahead here on the Kevin Amin Show. It's Monday. That means it's time to catch up with our friends over at TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. Check your local listings for TMZ television. Dax Holt joins us on the phone. Hey, Dax, how are you, man? How was your weekend?
My weekend was good, but I wasn't hanging out in Comic-Con, so it sounds like you guys had more fun than me.
I gotta tell you, it was really a blast.
That's what I'm hearing.
Any place that is people watching Central, which that is for sure.
Yeah.
I've been looking through photos. There's some crazies down there.
Yeah, and by the way, you guys did a nice job of kind of covering Comic-Con, too, because there was a lot of entertainment news coming out of it. But also, how about those pictures of Blake Lively from her panel? Is that unbelievable?
Oh,
has she ever looked better than she does in those pictures on your site?
I was, like, clicking through the gallery going, wow, she looks amazing. And just that top, whatever, I just was in awe.
Well, we were too. All right, let's talk about probably the big news is your top story right now, and I guess I never thought about what happened to all this music that Oksana recorded that Mel Gibson paid for, but you've got a story about what's likely to happen with that, or not happen, I should say.
I didn't know she recorded music.
Yeah, we heard a little about that last week.
Yeah,
she's a music star, and that's kind of how they started to meet. And I guess he just pumped in tons of money into her record career. And she's been doing songs over the last year with him. He's been writing with her. He's been producing the whole thing. And now, if she wants to release the music, she can't until he signs off on it.
So that's going to happen.
We're never going to hear a peep.
Wow.
No, absolutely not. Especially, you know, with the way that she's treating him and he's treating her. You're never going to hear this music ever.
Now, he said on one of those tapes, one of those famed leaked tapes, that he had spent $5 million on her. And the impression I got from that conversation was that a lot of that was toward her recording career. So But I hadn't heard until this article this morning that he was co-writing songs with her. How angry are those songs?
Well, they were probably happy songs at the time, but now they're not so happy. But, yeah, and apparently we're finding out, like, what happened between the two of them. I guess he was accusing her of having an affair with the tree man. Or
the tree man?
They said tree man, yeah.
They have just a guy for just the trees?
Well, when you're that rich, you do.
Wow. And the tree man was putting it to Oksana?
That's what he said.
That's a score.
So they got in a huge fight, and she ended up storming out, and that's when he started calling her, and she started recording all his phone calls.
Oh, the tree man is not going to go anywhere near Mel Gibson for the rest of his life.
No.
That's for sure. Hey, where is Mel Gibson now, Dax? Do you know?
You know, I think he's just hiding out in Malibu. I mean, I haven't seen any photos of him. He's one of those guys that could easily disappear and go around the world, and you never know because he's got all the money to.
Right.
But I think he's just hiding out. You know, he's got his church up there. He's got his house. They bumped up security so no one sees him go in and out. But, yeah, he's laying low.
Let's not just run over he's got his church up there.
Yeah, he does have his own church.
He actually owns the Catholic church, right, that's up there.
Yeah, it's a huge church that he just built on the hill over by his house out there in Malibu, and he's got to select people that can go, and they get access into the church, and he's got his own congregation, his own people.
Does he preach? He doesn't preach. He's not a priest.
No.
But he owns it, so he could.
He's got his own priest there.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, he goes and has confession for his own priest. I swear, he like goes in, has confession with his own guy, so it's kind of weird.
If you say a word about this, I will take you down.
And when you talk about how rich he is, the reason it's tough to find a guy like Gibson is he has private jets and stuff. He could just jump on a plane and be gone, and you wouldn't get a picture of him at LAX like everybody else.
Right.
Yeah, well, he lives in a huge compound, so he could easily have a helicopter land at his house, pick him up, take him away, and you'd never see him again.
So you're saying we will or will not hear this music?
Well, not.
Not.
All right. Dax Holt on the phone from TMZ.com, catching up on the weekend. Didn't hear much. It seemed fairly quiet from jail. What's Lindsay been up to? She had any good visitors, or she gotten any new tattoos or girlfriends? What do you know what's going on behind bars there?
Girlfriends, I don't know.
Is she cold? Does she enjoy the food? Any of it?
Not enjoying the food or the water. Nothing's very happy for her.
Sure.
Her lawyer, Sean Chapman Holly, was the only visitor she got this weekend because she used up all her visitation stuff throughout the week, or with her mom showing up, her sister showing up. But it looks like she's going to be going to rehab out here in California because she has to do that inpatient rehab.
That was the question. Wasn't she planning on going to Utah or someplace else?
Well, that's where she went back in 2007. She went to Cirque Rehab out there, but she kind of treated it as a joke. It didn't really do much, so that's going to be the last place they send her now.
I see. Okay.
So she's likely to get out, if she serves 14 days, which I guess is what we were all guessing, she'll be getting out a week from tomorrow, right? And then
Correct.
Does she go right into rehab, or does she have any time in between before she has to turn herself
in? No, I think she directly has to go to rehab. They want to get her in there, keep it going with the process. You know, she's under control right now, so might as well keep it that way.
All right, last question for you, Dax. What have you heard about her fishing around looking for big, big money for her first post-jail interview? Anything new on that?
You know, a lot of people do this, but I think the bigger, you know, interviews are going to be the ones that are not paid, like a Larry King interview. That's kind of where most people go to. Paris Hilton went there.
Yeah.
And then Chris Brown, after all his trouble, went straight to
Because he doesn't
King.
Ask any extra, you know,
any
really actual
questions.
Yeah. So, what's your name?
But you get a lot of publicity off of it.
You're in jail? Oh. How's the rest of your career?
I'm sorry I'm not familiar with you. All right. TMZ.com, TMZ Television. Check your local listings for that television show. Dax, great to hear from you. So you're in charge all this week while Harvey's on vacation. Don't screw it up, dude.
I'll try not to.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Bye, guys.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. One of the most prolific movie producers of all time, a legend, Roger Corman, joins us after the top of the hour. He's your boss on Sharktopus, don't you know, Ralph?
He is my boss. He signed my check for Sharktopus. I couldn't have been happier.
We will talk all about that great Sci-Fi Channel movie coming soon. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Speaking of Roger Corman, my other boss, I kicked myself after we did that interview.
Why?
Because
Kevin, it went well.
It did. But I forgot to bring up something that I knew you would have loved, Kevin, had we had a chance to talk to him about it.
Piranha?
Well, Piranha, of course. Oh. I mean, the guy's done so many great, great movies. But you would have been happy to know that he was the producer of Caged Heat, one of your favorite films featuring all the women in prison.
That's accurate, too. It's just exactly how it happened.
They want a man, any man. He could do whatever he wants once he's on the inside. That movie came to us thanks to the brilliant mind of Roger Corman.
Oh, that's such a good movie.
And the writer-director of that film, it was his first gig. Roger Corman gave him his big break. was a guy named Jonathan Demme, who you may recognize as later on being the director of Philadelphia and Silence of the Lambs, and went on to a huge, huge career after he did Caged Heat.
Prison as a place of punishment.
Caged Heat. Enter the female jungle of women's prison, USA. A seething hell of steel and stone where bodies behind bars ache with hunger for a man.
Wow.
They ache with hunger for a man.
That's the only reason they're upset. Everything else would be great.
We might have to open the video vault and take a good hard look at Caged Heat this week.
Caged Heat sounds awesome.
Maybe we should take, in honor of Lindsay Lohan being in the Hooskow, we should take a hard look at Caged Heat, and I mean a hard look. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? A hard look.
How funny
you
is it?
You know what I'm saying? A hard look at Caged Heat.
Yes, we do. The ultimate torture for them is to not have a man.
Oh, their bodies are hungering, Evan. You don't even understand.
You know how horny women get.
All right, speaking of movies, let's talk about the top 10 at the box office. It is Monday morning, and that's what we do. Inception is $35.5 million richer this weekend, making it number one yet again. Salt did very well in its debut. The new Angelina Jolie movie made $36.5 million.
I enjoyed that movie. Did you guys see that?
Salt? Mm-mm, haven't seen it.
I haven't seen the whole thing yet. I've just seen, I saw some footage when we were doing that panel at Comic-Con, but I hadn't a chance to see the whole thing yet. Despicable Me was third, then Sorcerer's Apprentice, Toy Story 3, Grown Ups, Twilight Saga Eclipse, The Last Airbender, Ramona and Beezus, which was originally your radio name, so wasn't it kind
That's
of
correct.
When you
it
first
was.
Got started?
I was Beezus.
And Predator rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of Comic-Con, Bean, you're bummed you left early. I'm telling you that much. You're
what
sorry
happened? What
you
I
missed?
Early.
Well, I was just partying Saturday night with your girl Santana from Glee.
Oh,
I love her so much.
Yeah, the
Bean was on a plane at 10:30.
Sure was. He was out as
a.m.
San Diego as quick as he could get. But I was hanging with the kids from Glee, and I saw our buddy Joel McHale there from NBC's Community. They were partying, and I ran into Zachary Levi, who's Chuck. You know how much I love Chuck.
Sure. I don't care for parties, as you know.
Yeah, but these were like cool people you would have liked
I do,
to
I do love Santana.
Have conversations so. With.
Bean was she wearing the cheerleader outfit?
She was not. She was all dolled up looking like $1 million.
Bean said to me at one point, if there were a tenth of people here, I would love this.
A tenth of the people?
That's what I needed, yeah. That convention floor, Ralph, as a first-time Comic-Conner, hard to explain if you haven't seen it in person. It's pretty remarkable.
It is an assault on the senses.
Yeah, it sure is.
You get visuals and sounds and smells and tastes
that you never want.
You never expect it. Yeah. But the reason
Go to KevinBean.com and check out Psycho Mike's interview on the floor where he talked to, you know, stormtroopers and R2-D2 and all sorts of zombies and crazy people. I mean, you get a feel for what sort of person comes to Comic-Con. Very entertaining at KevinBean.com.
Mike and R2-D2 are now engaged, I think.
That's what I understand, yeah.
The reason I bring it up is, speaking of Chuck, is that Hollywood Reporter is announcing that the role of Chuck's long-missing mom, we know that his dad is on the show, if you watch it, Scott Bakula is his dad, but his mom, we've never really found out what happens to her. They've just cast the actress who will play his mom, and it's Linda Hamilton from Terminator.
Oh, great. Yeah.
So she's a former spy who comes back into Chuck's life, and his sister Ellie, played by Sarah Lancaster. So that's good news. And the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, GLAAD, has announced their ratings of the TV networks regarding how many gay, bisexual, and lesbian characters they have on their network. Okay. And the CW wins. Woo!
Because they have the most, you mean, or the least?
Yeah,
they win because they have the most. All right.
Yeah. 35% of the characters on their shows are gay, bisexual, or lesbian.
35%? That's way out of line with the population.
Yeah. Huh. Fox.
Bean's going to protest that.
I'm sorry. These ratings have one of the factors of the ratings that they give them includes how many characters they have on there, but it also includes content and how positive they are for in terms of the gay and lesbian community and that kind of stuff.
Got it.
So CW wins because overall they do the best presentation they consider in terms of their community. Fox was next, then ABC, NBC, and CBS was the least favorite network of the gay and lesbian community because it's just all old dudes over there.
It's 75 plus.
I don't want to see any gays on my shows!
But the CBS viewers are screaming. So.
Shame on you, CBS!
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Mick Jagger, The Stones is 67. Helen Mirren turns 65 years old today. Roger Taylor, drummer of Queen, is 61. Kevin Spacey's 51. Sandra Bullock turns 46 years old today. Jeremy Piven's 45. Kate Beckinsale.
Jeremy Piven?
We don't know.
Jeremy Piven's a very talented actor on Entourage. Kate Beckinsale's 35.
Oh, my God.
Yes. More than two bells.
That was three.
Chris Harrison of The Bachelor is 39. And Taylor Momsen of Gossip Girl. Oh, Gossip Girl. I love Taylor Momsen. She's 17 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ryan Scheckler on the show today. And tickets for X Games 16 for you. Plus, later this hour, we'll give you a chance to join us Thursday night for a special advanced screening of Dinner for Schmucks. We're going to give you dinner. We're the Schmucks. Plus the movie that opens the following day. So we'll tell you more about that coming up in just a few minutes. First, though, Kevin, I think we've got time for another one of our interviews from Comic-Con, don't we?
We do. We were in San Diego over the weekend, and we interviewed the executive producer of Damn You, Sharktopus!
Comic-Con 2010. Let's be honest, Ralph. The only reason you're here is because the man to your left, the great Roger Corman, producer of Sharktopus, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, my boss is here, so I have to show up and make good. How are you doing today, Roger?
Very well, Ralph. And let me say you were sensational in the film.
Well, you're very kind. It was a pleasure to work on one of your productions. I've been a fan for many years.
I even looked at you occasionally because of the girl in the bikini to your side looked pretty good, but you were great.
Yeah, Shandy Finnessy plays my assistant in my scenes.
That's the only person I'll be looking at.
And she has assets that I do not possess, let's say that.
Right.
Yeah. Mr. Corman, the truth is that since the minute Sharktopus was announced, we all got excited, but Ralph knew that it was his life's work to get in the movie. And I'm sure that happens to you all the time where people want to work in one of your films. But Ralph has thought of little else in this year besides being able to say, damn you, Sharktopus, in a sci-fi movie.
He will be immortalized in this film.
Sharktopus really has sort of taken on a life of its own on the internet. The minute it was announced, it seemed like everyone was automatically interested. Why do you think that was?
I think it was partially the title and partially the footage. It really turned out well, and the CGI, the special effects for the Sharktopus, turned out exceptionally well. The strange thing is the trailer took off, and it doesn't even have the best CGI in it because we haven't done that yet.
Where did the idea come from, Roger, if you know? Like, who first thought Shark plus Octopus?
The title came from sci-fi, and they asked me if I wanted to make it because I'd done Dino Shark and so forth. And I said, no, I have a theory that you can go up to a certain level of insanity with Dino Croc, Dino Shark, and so forth, but you go above that level of insanity, and the audience says, forget it.
And you were wrong.
I was wrong. Really. And the reaction, the publicity, just from the title alone, was the biggest sci-fi has had all year, or maybe last year. And the trailer, I guess, is the number one trailer on the internet. So you learn something even at my age.
Roger Corman, of course, a film legend. We've talked about on the Kevin Bean Show before. You've been making great movies for 40 years. I mean, you were even honored at the Academy Awards last year for the lifetime of film work that you've done. It must be great for you to see. Now you got a budget. Now you don't have to make movies in 3 days for whatever change you got on your pocket. I mean, it looks like they really spent some money to make Sharktopus great.
Yeah, we spent almost $2 million, which
Wow.
You know, for Avatar, one of our graduates, Jim Cameron, has kind of beaten us on budgets.
a bit.
But for us, this was pretty big.
For sci-fi, that's a whole year's worth of budget for films, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we're at the upper limit.
Now, Ralph has been very cagey with giving too much information about his character. We know that he plays an alcoholic DJ. He won't tell us much more beyond that. Is there anything you can add that you don't feel will spoil it for us, but will help us make us look forward to it even more?
I believe it was a miscarriage of justice when he was thrown out of the United States.
All right. That's right. My character is forced out by the FCC, and I have to start broadcasting from a ship with a beautiful girl in a bikini by my side.
That's going to happen very soon without the beautiful girl.
Ralph, tell Roger about Damn You, Sharktopus, and how that's taken on a life of its own.
Well, I decided when I wanted to be in the film that I would just make up my own dialogue and audition the best I could on our radio show. So I came up with the scenario where my final line was, Damn You, Sharktopus! And for some reason, that caught the imagination of our listeners, and they started putting pages up on Facebook. And then Declan O'Brien, our director, actually heard that, and I guess that's how the ball started getting rolling, and now I actually get to say it in the film.
Yeah, you see people all around Comic-Con with buttons, Damn You, Sharktopus.
That's ridiculous. Ralph came up with that. That's crazy.
We don't have a date yet for a broadcast on sci-fi.
We just got the word that it'll be on sci-fi Saturday, September 25th.
Mr. Corbin, we couldn't be more honored to meet you here at Comic-Con. You are a film legend. We're big fans, and thank you for putting Ralph in the movie and continuing to do the great stuff that you do, sir.
Thank you for giving us, Ralph.
You can have him permanently.
Damn you, Sharktopus!
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Hey, what's better than seeing a great movie before it opens in theater? How about seeing it with free food included? How about that? Talking about to dinner for schmucks, it's a Kevin and Bean party. We haven't tried this before, but I think this is going to be fun. Thursday night, we're going to be in Pasadena at Gold Class Cinemas. They serve actual food there, Kevin, plus a no-host bar with drink specials. And because it's dinner for schmucks, we thought, hey, why don't we find some people who really are schmucks and need this to kind of save their relationships?
Well, we know there's going to be a lot of people out there because we've been in this position occasionally where you're in the doghouse. You made a mistake. You know it's your fault.
Yes.
Your girlfriend, your wife, your boyfriend, your husband is really upset at you because you screwed up. We need you to call us at 1-800-520-1067. And to try and make it up for her, you can take her to this event. It's dinner for schmucks.
I like
that. And you can say, honey, I've been such a schmuck. See, and then you can work it in that way. And she'll go, that's not the word I would use.
But anyway, so it's a free movie with us, Kevin and Bean, including dinner in Pasadena. It is this Thursday night. So if you're in the doghouse, we want to hear what you did. And if we like your story, we'll give you the tickets to join us Thursday. 1-800-520-1067. Speaking of schmucks, look who just walked in the room.
I live and breathe, I would say, pop culture and the entertainment business. I currently am in a partnership with the next Jay-Z. I won't go to a club now for less than $100,000.
You say villain, some people say jerk. I mean,
tomato, tomato.
I'm too rich and I'm too famous to be sitting with these people and cleaning up their in the jungle, my man. And this cast is devaluing our fame right now. I'm sitting next to VH1 comedians that I've never even seen before. I'm a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I kickbox. I box every day. I don't fear no man.
Yeah. Now, The Hills is over, and we hoped that meant that you were gone, that we wouldn't have to hear from you or talk to you anymore, Spencer Pratt, but yet here you are. What's going on?
I built this city on rock and roll, kid. Nothing's going to stop me now. All right.
Now, Spencer, you weren't invited to the finale of The Hills.
That's true.
Or to the after party.
They figured I might upstage them.
Right.
Which is the truth. Right, Linda?
I'll punch you.
You're supposedly split from your wife, which we don't know whether to believe or not.
Dunzo. Right. Splitsville.
What happened to you being a cyber criminal? Were you going to be a cyber criminal? Were you going to crack, bust people for white-collar crime?
Well, now there's literally no more internet crime because of me.
Is that right?
That's true. Myself and my business partner, Wyatt Earp, have caught up all the criminals online.
Okay.
And we took them to Judge Judy and Thurgood Marshall, and they are now in jail.
Okay. All right.
I think you got your facts wrong. And I don't think you were going to be a cyber criminal as much as you were going to be a cyber cop to catch criminals, I think.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
Hey, look, either way, man, I'm the fire in the arcade. Blame it on the bossa nova, baby.
Wow.
The dance of
all
love.
Right. So the latest story is that now you're an artist, you
That's
say.
Right. Not you now. I've always been.
Here's the quote, and I'd just like you to get your comments on it. I'm an artist now. I have an easel and everything.
All of it. Easel. I have an easel.
Right, but I could have an easel. It doesn't make me an artist.
I invented canvas. I'm everything when it comes to art.
Well, okay? You didn't.
I did. Name it. Oh, okay. What, any type of art, every great artist in the world, they all look to Spencer Pratt as an inspiration.
The Mona Lisa somehow
is tied
into
Rembrandt a ringtone. I invented clay.
You didn't invent clay. Clay is part of the earth, Spencer.
Really? After I closed my first apothecary, I showed Stan Lee how to draw cartoons simultaneously.
What kind of artist are you? Do you do sketches? Do you do paintings? Do you do sculptures? What's your specialty? What are you going to...
I'm a surreal naturalist of abstract nature.
What does that mean? I don't know.
I think those words mean
visualize.
I was Basquiat's crack cook.
No, again, you weren't born yet.
What a reference.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Hey, JonBenet, look at me. I showed Jackson Pollock how to splatter.
Did you? I bet you did.
Yeah.
Basketball.
Listen, you. What does basketball mean?
What are you talking about?
Why would you say that word?
Because.
Because what? Why did you just say the word basketball? It didn't even make sense. In any context, in any way.
Listen, it's like Darwin's. Yes. It's like Darwin said.
What did Darwin say? Do you even know what Darwin said?
Yes.
Okay. What did he say
roughly?
Where's the beef? All right, Spencer. Well, good luck with that. How about this? Thursday night, we're going to be in Pasadena. That's in California, don't you know, for an exclusive Kevin and Bean screening of Dinner for Schmucks. It opens up the next day. That's with Steve Carell and Paul Rudd, who, by the way, are great in everything they do. The movie is going to be hilarious. It opens up on Friday. You can see it Thursday night with us. And there's food involved because it's Gold Class Cinemas. And I'm telling you, they got an actual real menu and a bar. So that's the way to see a movie.
Wow. Yeah.
What are we looking for as we go to the phones here at 1-800-520-1067?
Well, we're looking for people who are in trouble with their significant other, whether it be your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever. You screwed up. It's your fault. You know it. She's mad at you. He's mad at you. And maybe you could help make up for it by taking him to this night of having dinner and watching this movie.
Absolutely.
And okay. That's your way of saying, anyway. I'm sorry, I'm an a-hole.
All right, let's try Natalie on line one, kind of get us started, get the flavor of what we're talking about here. Natalie, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. So you are the schmuck, that's why you want to join us Thursday, right?
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
I am the schmuck. Me and my husband have a pretty healthy sexual relationship.
Yeah. Right.
He pretty much expects to get it every night.
Right.
And last night, I pretty much blew him off, so he was kind of upset.
Whoa. Oh, death penalty.
And he ended up sleeping on the couch.
Death penalty.
So, wait, how upset could he be if he only got sex 6 nights this week?
Really? Well,
I mean, really?
I know. It's not very usual for a guy to be able to get it that often from his wife. So when he didn't, he was pretty upset.
So he literally went and pouted and sat on the couch?
Yes. Just
what a baby.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't think you're the schmuck at all here.
I'd like to let you come and bring someone else.
Thank you so much.
I'd like to let you come and bring a girlfriend or maybe a boyfriend. Not him.
All right, you're fine, Natalie. We'll see you Thursday night. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate that. Let's try Seth. Seth is on line two. Apparently he has been in the doghouse for a whole week now. Seth, what's going on, buddy?
How's it going, guys? Hey, morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
What'd you do?
Girlfriend used to have the same phone that I have now.
Right.
So she kind of knew it a little bit better than I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to a girl that I used to talk to back in high school. And she sent me some pictures of her in her underwear. And my girlfriend went through my phone because she suspected something. And
wow, cell phone 101. How dumb are you?
Well, that's what I thought. I thought I had hidden them pretty well, but there was a folder that I didn't even know you could get to in that phone that she ended up looking through and found them.
So she found a girl in her undies on your phone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Now, would it help you guys out if you came to dinner and a movie with us on Thursday night?
I'm hoping so, because she's pretty mad at me, but I know that she really wanted to see this movie. So, I'm hoping it'll help.
Here's the quandary that we're in, though, is if you did something that's bad enough and she's still angry, we're watching the movie and you're, how come you have... We don't need that kind of interruption.
And we don't want it wasted if it's too big a bad deed.
Do you think this will make up for it or not?
No, I think she's definitely, she's upset with me.
But I'm saying, is this step one, or will this help it?
I think it will.
All right. All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll see you Thursday, man. Thanks for calling.
We are going to have a theater full of arguers.
All the women on one side, all the men on the other.
You ain't all right.
Let's try Andrew on line four. Yeah, it didn't occur to me that there could be some fights going on in the crowd here. Andrew, talking about Dinner for Schmucks Thursday night in Pasadena with Kevin and Bean. You are the schmuck. What happened?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm a big schmuck. Check it out. I blew up my wife's car.
Now, by blew up, what do you mean?
By blew up, I mean kaboom, like literally blew up.
But, I mean, you put TNT in it, or you just drove it too hard without any water?
Or
I mean,
oil.
What are you talking about?
We were getting drunk, and we got into an argument, but I just couldn't put up with her arguing with me anymore, so our car was in the driveway. Well, her car, I have my own car, and her car was in a convenient spot for me to get away with drinking and smoking cigarettes, and it wasn't a problem. I ended up cleaning the leather interior with a product I didn't know was flammable that day, and I passed out, and I dropped a lit cigarette in the back seat.
Yeah,
and
you
I
passed woke out.
Up,
in quotes. Yeah.
Yeah, I woke up to a really bad smell and a lot of light, and I was running around drunk trying to find a garden hose, couldn't do it, and the gas tank ignited and blew it up in our driveway.
Oh, now again, I don't know that a dinner and a movie is going to... Really?
Well, she's kind of over it now. It was about a month ago, but it's that thing that she always brings up. Every
all right.
Time we have a
of
little
course.
Argument.
How dare she? Sure. How dare you bring up the fact that I blew up your car when I was drunk?
Oh, yeah. And there's a big black stain in the driveway.
All right. Listen, you can come, but just make sure, talk to her and make sure that you're not going to argue during the party.
I would love to come, but if Steve Carell is there, he's going to steal her from me, so I don't know if that would be as
dude, there's a lot of people that are going to be there that could steal her from you.
All right,
exactly.
Yeah. Might as well risk it now.
All right. Thank
All
you.
Right, fantastic. On. We'll see you Thursday night. Wow, what is going on with our listeners? Our listeners are a bunch of losers.
They really are.
Let's try
Oscar. Let's try Oscar. Okay. Because this right. doesn't seem like the smartest move on Oscar's part. Hi, Oscar.
Hey, how's it going there, guys?
This Hi. Weekend, you spent the night with who?
Well, I was at a party with mutual friends about 2 weeks ago, and I ended up taking off with my ex.
Your ex?
My ex-wife. And
Your ex-wife.
Yeah. Okay. And there's a mutual friend that knows my girlfriend now.
Your current girlfriend?
And, yeah. So she's
Who's telling this story? Oscar or you?
I'm trying to get him to tell the important parts. He has a girlfriend. He spent the night with his ex-wife.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, see, my girlfriend only knows that we took off, and that's all she knows. Hopefully she's not listening right now, or else I'm in deeper trouble
yeah,
here.
Yeah, Oscar, we can't help you.
I got to tell you.
I'm sorry.
I got to tell you. He's going to come on the radio to tell her that he slept with his ex-wife.
Yes.
Well, one, he's not a good guy.
And it's
two,
Monday.
He's an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Well, alcohol was involved, so I could only take 50% of the blame.
Yeah.
I can't. Oh, my God.
I think we have to turn Oscar away, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, we can't help you. Movie's not going to save you. I'm sorry.
We have alcohol at our party.
Right.
I don't trust him.
This isn't... Listen, this can only fix minor stuff. We're not looking... we're not looking for you moved in and remarried your ex-wife and your girlfriend's angry.
Let's do one more. Let's try Chris. Chris is on line 8. He'll wrap us up. We have Dinner for Schmucks tickets, by the way, for you today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. So if you want to join us, definitely start thinking about this because we'll be asking for your calls all week. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show.
Note to self. Tomorrow we have to limit the damage that has been done. All right, Chris, what happened?
A week from last Sunday was my wife's birthday. Mm-hmm. A bunch of my friends decided they wanted to take me out the night before.
Unrelated.
Keep in mind, I had budgeted my wife's birthday money because we have a 10-month-old daughter.
Right.
And they decided it's time for stripper poles and booze.
Oh, that's so great because mothers of 10-month-old daughters love that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I rarely get to go out and do that anymore. Well, I rolled in the house about 7 the next morning.
Sure.
And
those clubs aren't open all night.
1 o'clock in the afternoon, like, where's her birthday? And I looked down at my wallet and realized that I had spent all of our money.
Yeah.
And she didn't get a birthday.
Yeah.
So needless to say, I've been sleeping on the couch for the last
but
week.
But were the strippers good?
The strippers were awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's the important part, I guess.
Now... Yeah. If we let you come to the party, I mean, it's not going to be an all-out brawl, is it?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Trust me, my wife gets to see Steve Carell.
I'm not positive all the stars are going to be there. This is a screening the night before, but we've had a couple of mentions of Steve Carell. I'm not positive the stars
are
going to be
there. Yeah, let's just count on you're seeing a movie and getting some food.
Regardless,
we can call it the birthday party that I didn't give her.
Okay, good.
Okay. If this will help, then we'll give you tickets, okay?
Oh, it will help extremely.
All right. We're in trouble.
Our people drink too much.
We're in a lot
That's
of trouble.
That's one thing I'm learning.
Well, A, yes. And B, Thursday night, we're going to need a lot of security. Because there's going to be just knocked out and drag out.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, fresh off of a Comic-Con weekend. Ralph, we sat down with your personal hero, Jeff Bridges, on Friday.
Such a cool dude.
The coolest. Talking about Tron Legacy. We'll have that for you coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Show Biz Beat. What's going on?
Have you guys seen the new trailer for Tron Legacy that was released this weekend, Comic-Con trailer?
I don't
know. It's on the internet now. They debuted it at the Comic-Con panel for Tron Legacy, and now it's available online.
I don't think I have.
You must go see
it. It's amazing.
I've seen a bunch
it's amazing.
Of trailers. You must go see it.
All right.
Do it now. What are you doing? All right. Good. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies of the box office, shall we? Because it is Monday, and that's what we do on Mondays. Inception, still number one. $43.5 million made it. So, Salt, in its debut with Angelina Jolie, did very well, $36.5 million. Despicable Me was third, The Sorcerer's Apprentice was fourth, and Toy Story 3, Grown Ups, Eclipse, The Last Airbender, Ramona and Beezus, and Predators, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Kings of Leon had to cancel their concert this weekend due to pigeon poop.
What?
They were performing in St. Louis last night, and they had to quit playing after just 3 songs because a flock of pigeons stormed the stage, flying above them, raining poop down upon them.
Yeah. Just the band? Just the band or the crowd?
Mostly the band.
Awesome. Yeah, the crowd didn't get any. It's crazy.
And a pigeon pooped into Jared Falwell's mouth.
DJ Omar Khan.
The tweet from Nathan Followill, drummer for the band, was as follows. So sorry, St. Louis, we had to bail. He explained how Jared got poop in his mouth. Too unsanitary to continue, he added. Concert goers have been offered a full refund. Reporters talked to one of the pigeons named Nicole, and she said, the band was great before they sold out. They used to be good.
The pigeon had a name? Added.
Yes.
Odd.
Awesome.
Rare that a concert will be called due to pigeon poop rain.
Could be a first. First time I've ever heard that. Yeah.
Could be a first.
Three songs and out. I know you guys were devastated when Amanda Bynes tweeted in June that she was retiring from acting.
I didn't hear about that.
I didn't hear about this either.
Yeah.
I don't know how I missed it.
We talked about it on the show, guys.
Yeah, but
about Amanda Bynes.
Yeah.
Well,
even Ralph was mocking how little she had done in her career up
to
this point.
But we care so little about her that we don't remember that like you do.
I don't think I was here for it. It might have been when I was gone. But she says, she tweeted in June, I don't love acting anymore, so I've stopped doing it. Being an actress isn't as fun as it seems. Blah, 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 blah.
And now?
I know it seems like 24 is young to retire, she added. Well, yesterday she tweeted, I've unretired.
Really?
And then tweeted a promotional video for her new movie, Easy A. So apparently she's decided that she likes living in a house and eating and driving a car.
Paying bills.
And realizes that she probably would not be able to get that much money doing anything else with her life. She's been acting since she was a little kid on that Nickelodeon show.
Yeah, right.
She had a fashion line. I wonder if she thought that was the direction she was going to go.
I don't know, but she was wrong.
Yeah.
She also has gotten surprisingly hot, too, compared to how she started out.
Oh, I thought she was always a pretty little girl.
Yeah,
she really, really hot now, though.
How old is she?
24.
Okay, good.
So it's perfectly acceptable, Kevin.
Excellent. She's hot.
Say that she's hot.
Kevin is freaking Chris Hansen every time we talk about somebody. He's the first guy with
his hand
up in the air.
Gotta be careful.
Well, you don't want to be inappropriate because that would make some people unhappy.
Chris Hansen especially.
Chris Hansen especially. Ah, this bothers me. Casey Affleck is being sued for $2 million for sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I'm just concerned when this happens to people because it's just a matter of time before one of us here at the station gets slapped.
And then we sue for getting slapped?
No,
what are you talking about?
Slapped with a lawsuit. Oh. Apparently, Amanda White is one of the female producers on that bogus Joaquin Phoenix documentary that Casey Affleck was directing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
She says that Casey forced uninvited and unwelcome sexual advances on her. She also adds that Casey repeatedly referred to women as cows.
Very nice.
Discussed his sexual exploits and those of other celebrities that he allegedly witnessed. And once said to her, after learning her age, isn't about time you got pregnant.
You can't sue somebody for making a joke, though, can you?
Well, Casey Affleck is being sued
you
for
can
just
sue
that.
Somebody for anything.
Yeah,
$2 million. True. Here's what I'm thinking, Amanda White, one of the female producers of the bogus Joaquin Phoenix documentary. You should have thought of that because before you came, one of the producers of the bogus Joaquin Phoenix documentary, which is a bogus project, and you get what you deserve, you cow. Isn't it about time you got pregnant?
I wonder if that will be released in September like they're threatening now, or if it... this whole project is just so shaky. And apparently Joaquin Phoenix is like banging hookers and doing blow and everything else in the movie. Like, how do you legally show that if he's really doing that stuff that's breaking the law?
I don't know.
This whole thing is just crazy.
But I'm kind of interested in it. I think I would like to see it.
Yeah.
Just for the, wow, look at that factor.
But do you think it'll ever come out? I mean, do you think it's real still?
Yeah, well, they shot it.
Yeah.
And it has a release date now, too.
Hmm. It's not going to release. It's going to escape.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones is 67 years old today. Helen Mirren celebrates her 65th birthday. Roger Taylor of Queen is 61. Kevin Spacey turns 51 years old today. Sandra Bullock is 46 years old. That surprises me every time I read it. And yet I keep reading it over and over again. Jeremy Piven, our buddy from Entourage, celebrates his 45th birthday. Of course, we also co-starred in Two for the Money together. Let's not forget that.
I didn't see you in that.
What the?
But
you... Damn you, Sharktopus! Kate Beckinsale's 37 years old.
Oh, yes.
And Taylor Momsen from Gossip Girl is 17 years old today. Oh, Gossip Girl.
I love that show so much. Almost as much as pandas.
I want to go back to San Diego to see more pandas.
Dave and his pandas are going to drive us all crazy.
So Dave drove to San Diego for the broadcast, then drove back to L.A. to see Rage Against the Machine on Friday night, then got out of that show at like midnight, got in his car, drove back to San Diego again, and then drove back to L.A. yesterday.
Yes.
That was Dave's weekend.
Yes.
You know why he went back? Pendas.
Oh.
Pendas. He wanted to see the pendas.
I want to see the pendas in their pan. Rob Carver and I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Over the weekend, we were at Comic-Con, and we interviewed a lot of people on Friday morning, but we didn't have time for everybody.
Yeah.
So after the show, we went and interviewed some more people, including the star of the upcoming Tron.
Ooh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Bridges.
Comic-Con 2010 continues here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about Tron Legacy. Finally, in theaters after what? 28 years or something like that. What's the rush? Ladies and gentlemen, the star of Tron and the new Tron movie, Jeff Bridges, joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir?
Hey there, guys. Well, well.
Great to talk to you again. Like I said, why the rush?
It's kind of strange to have a sequel this long after the original, isn't it?
Yeah it is. 27 years. But it's funny. It seems like we just had a long weekend and we remustered, you know. It helped, that illusion was helped by having Bruce Boxleitner, who was the original Tron, on board, as well as Steven Lisberger, our director and the writer of original Tron. And I'm really happy that they included Lisberger, because he is the main Tronster, man. He knows the whole thing.
What did you think when they first came to you and said, we're going to do another Tron? You must have been scared of that.
I'd heard rumors, you know, for about 20 years that they were going to do it. And I said, come on, you know, that's kind of an interesting idea. What's the script, you know? And I never got a script, and evidently they weren't happy with what they were coming up with. And they didn't know who to, you know, choose for the director. And I'm really glad they waited, because I think we have a good story, and they got this great director, Joe Kaczynski. Can you imagine? For your first film, directing, I don't know how many millions of dollars this movie cost, but the pressure that would be. But he was like, you know, so calm and confident. He's an architect. So bringing that to the film was great. You know, it's very difficult when you watch the film to tell what are practical sets, actual, you know, sets that you can see. And CGI. You know.
Are the special effects any better now than they were in 1981?
It's funny you should ask that. No, they're not. They're actually more primitive. No, back in that, when the original one, we shot it in 70mm black and white. The sets were all black duvetine with white adhesive tape. And then they sent the whole thing over to Korea and had these ladies paint in the glowing lines of the suit and so forth. And in this one, of course, it's just, you know, shot in, you know, 3D, and some of the scenes. It was the first time for me to make a movie where cameras were not used. They used optical sensors. You would go into a room that they called the volume.
Are you duding out on me now? Because I can make a movie without cameras.
Exactly. That's it. This is what we're in store for. This is what all movies will eventually probably get down to. You go into a room called the volume, and there are hundreds of sensors pointed at you. And you have a leotard on with these dots on your face and on your costume. But you have no actual real costume. You're not dressed like your character will be dressed. You're not in a set or anything like that. And you do the scene, and then everything, from the camera angles to the lighting to the makeup, the costumes, the set, everything is done in post.
That seems really difficult as an actor.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
What do you act against?
The challenge was to... Because you're right, it does really rub against your acting fur. You know, it just feels terrible, you know.
I don't have acting fur, but I think it would.
Yeah, well, if you did, it would feel really wrong. But... the challenge is to get rid of that resentment that you're having for not. I want a costume. No, I like having a set to know where I am. You know, because there's nothing, you know, a greater buzzkill than, you know, resentment when you got that. So you got to get that out of your system and just play like when you were a kid and you had to pretend all that, you know, that kind of stuff.
That technology allows them to peel 28 years off of you in the movie. What is that like to watch?
I haven't.
Can they do it in real life?
Yeah, no, they can't do that in real life. Not yet, but one day. I haven't seen the final, because, you know, it's one of those things that they're going to keep working on. But what I've seen, it's really getting good. You know, it's It's really believable, and it's exciting for me as an actor, and rubbing my fur the right way, I might say, is that now I can play a character at any age. I can be play the same guy at 4 years old or a 100-year-old man or whatever, you know.
This is the voice of Jeff Bridges, Oscar-winning actor, talking about Tron Legacy coming out Christmas time. We're here at Comic-Con talking to Mr. Bridges. You have your choice of great roles at this stage of your career. You certainly didn't have to do this movie. What attracted you to want to go back and play this character again, Flynn in Tron?
Well, one of the things was the same thing that got me to the party on the first one, which was taking part in a movie that was going to use all this great technology, you know, the cutting edge stuff, and you know, probably also the kid in me. You know, somebody said, "Hey, you're going to play this guy who gets sucked into a computer." You know, and, oh yeah, okay. You know, so that kid thing. But on the more adult level, the chance of participating in a modern-day myth, you know, the myths are so important to us, I think, to help us navigate the waters that we live in. And each age has its own challenges, and technology is certainly, you know, one for us. And so our movie deals with kind of the underbelly of technology, the darker side, you know, some of the things that we might watch out for, you know, because we get addicted, or at least I do, you know, to comfort and media gratification and these kind of things that technology can help us achieve, but it's also frightening, you know, we can lead us to paths we don't want to necessarily go down.
All right, here's my last question, and I'll let the guys get theirs. Could this happen to me in real life? Because I spend a lot of time online. I get kind of worried. I see your movie, and I go, oh, man, that looks bad. I don't want this to happen to me. That's a bad way to go.
Yeah, there is this laser that you want to stay clear of.
Okay.
Yeah.
I won't press yes when the laser button comes
up. Yeah, that's right.
One of the reasons everyone's so excited about this film is Tron is one of those movies that has stayed with people all this time. The fans are still as passionate about it today as they were when they first saw it. What do you think it is about Tron that has captured people's imaginations for so long?
Well, probably, you know, when they first saw it as a kid, and it was that cutting edge thing that, you know, caught their attention. That's in their memory. That's a very strong stamp in their memory. And I think this next one's going to be kind of a similar thing. You know, it's the film industry gets to, you know, bring out all their fancy wear and show you this is what we can do now, you know.
My last question is, do we have to wait till Christmas? Can we do like Thanksgiving? Can we do September? Seriously,
well,
can we move it up?
I don't think so. I think that, you know, you gotta wait, man. Be patient. You know, it's that immediate gratification deal, man. Right.
The movie looks great. Jeff, thanks so much for the time on the Kevin Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Great talking with you guys.
Guys, Dick Cheney is dead. He's not dead, but he doesn't have a pulse. But he is walking around.
How can that be?
He's walking around, he's saying hi to people, and he's interacting with people, but he has no pulse.
All right, Dick Cheney, first of all, doesn't say hi to people. He scowls at them. That's what he does. But second of all, imagine having no pulse. It's like being a vampire, right? I mean,
I don't even understand.
It's not a pacemaker, but it's some kind of an insert in his heart. He had his first heart attack, first of five, by the way. God's been trying to kill him for a long time.
No one can take that guy down.
When he was 37. And so it's not a pacemaker, but they somehow put in an assist thing that keeps his heart beating, but he literally has no pulse. Literally has no pulse.
Wow.
Well, this is amazing technology. I don't know how brand new it is, but we have a lot of questions about it. So I believe we've got the former Vice President, Mr. Dick Cheney, on the phone with us now on the Kevin Bean Show.
Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick.
Hey, Dick.
So?
We haven't even asked you anything yet.
So?
First of all, congratulations on still being alive. I'm as amazed as the next guy.
I literally have no pulse.
Yeah, what's that about?
That doesn't seem possible.
I've never really had much use for a heart.
That's true. right.
In any sense of the word.
Right.
And so now I no longer need it.
Dude, what's the constant
hearts
toilet?
Are for pussies.
Toilet flushing sound. What is that? Is that your?
That is my left ventricular assist device.
I see. Okay.
The LVAD.
Okay.
Or
all right.
LVAD.
Okay. The LVAD, okay. So is it true that you are asked to wear a bracelet so in the event that you end up in an ambulance or a paramedic needs to assist you, they will know that you're not dead just because you have no pulse?
Yes, if I were to pass out and the paramedic were to look for a pulse, he would not find one.
Huh.
And so I would not want to be buried in the ground
right
as dead and yet still be living.
Does this make you a
zombie? Of course, I'm buried in my own coffin in my native soil, where it's where I go when the sun is up.
I think I saw you on True Blood last night, Mr. Vice President. Is it, it sounds like it might be awkward or inconvenient to have the batteries for this thing strapped onto your chest everywhere you go.
Yeah, the batteries are the only problem, really. They have not quite perfected the life of the charge in the batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes that, oh, crap.
What? Stopped. What happened?
It stopped.
Yeah, the battery's dead.
Oh, well, should we call 911? What do you need us to do?
Oh, here, all right. Get the bunny. Get the bunny. Get the
what?
Bunny. There we go. I got the Energizer bunny on staff. Oh, comes out, keeps me going.
Okay. The actual Energizer bunny?
Yeah, I threatened to murder his family in case he, if he didn't stand by me.
Is he just hitting you in the chest?
No, he's got that bass drum thing he does. Oh. For some reason, and apparently, it keeps me going.
Okay. And that's the best sound effects Omar can find?
Pretty much. Yeah, what we got.
Okay. Mr. Vice President, how long will that go on? At some point, will that end?
That's up to you, I guess.
You mean the Energizer Bunny or the heart?
Yes, the Energizer Bunny. That's what I meant.
I thought you meant the bit.
No, the bit. No. I just meant the sound effects.
I'm done with the bit if everyone else is satisfied.
Do you feel like we got our money's worth?
Hey.
Whoa, what's going on now? Up. Are you okay?
You've seen the Energizer Bunny, right?
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's what he does. Okay. He hits that drum and it gets faster and faster.
All right. See? Mr. Vice President, are you done? Could we say goodbye at this point or do you have more?
It's your call.
Okay. I'm saying I'm done.
Looks like he's trying to kill Dick.
Chuck Lorre's pretty amazing to watch for what he can do with his size on a skateboard.
Yeah, man, last year was amazing in the pre-qualifiers I got first.
You honestly think someone's going to pay you to ride a skateboard?
You know what? The Dude Tour did.
He's got all the ingredients the judges like to see. The speed, the line, the degree of difficulty, and the style. The way he looks on his board, it's art.
I skated Slam City as an amateur and then turned pro after I won that.
The ladies really like him. I don't really understand why. I mean, but anyway, his name's Ryan. Checkler.
I promise his voice has changed, so don't judge by the clips from early in his career, but X Games 16 is happening starting Thursday. Ryan Checkler, of course, is going to be competing all weekend long, and he joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show now. Hey, Ryan, how are you, man?
I'm good, guys. What's going on? Intro is funny, man.
I love playing those clips because it sounds like your current self on helium.
Yeah, right?
That's awesome.
Well, Ryan, how do you feel a few days away from X Games returning? And can you believe it's 16 years already the X Games has been going on?
Dang, man. I'm very excited. You know, I feel very very ready this year. You know, I got hurt last year at X Games and kind of have a completely different mental perspective of what's going to go on this week. So, yeah, I'm ready, man. I can't wait.
Run down your list of events. You're on Saturday and Sunday, right?
Yeah, for the most part, I'm on Saturday, and then I am signed up to do the skateboard park, too, on,
Sunday.
On Sunday. So, I just kind of going to play it by ear and see how the street final goes, and if I'm not too sore, then yeah, I'll be skating both.
How many events per year, Ryan, do you compete in? I'm sure X Games is the biggest and most important to you, but how many different times per year do you compete, do you think?
I definitely compete at least, I guess you could say starting in May, we basically have a contest to two contests every month until about September, October. So the whole summer is basically our season. So there's a couple contests here and there for sure.
Are you injured all year?
No, but I'm definitely sore all year, that's for sure.
I'm sure. Now, once you start getting within range of X Games, for instance this week, do you start thinking, wow, I've really got to start holding something back, I've got to keep something as a surprise to show up then, or not? Do you give it everything you've got every time you go out, even up till X Games?
Yeah, I mean, I don't give it everything I have up until X Games. You know, I'll go out one day and train something, and then I'll go out the next day and maybe just skate some stairs or, I took about a week. So I just got off of New York, skateboard tour with Plan B, this Friday. So, We skated real hard on that trip. Now I'm kind of just taking it easy. Definitely seeing the therapist, getting my foot all worked on, and just, you know, staying, I guess, loose. So, yeah, I'm about to turn it up, though, this week.
You know what I do? I go down to Staples Center on Tuesday and Wednesday, and I just stand there all day and just, like, get ready to watch just to make sure I'm in shape so that I can watch.
Besides your events, Ryan, do you have sponsor parties or any other opportunities that fans have a chance to meet you if they're going down this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, dude, I'm just going to be lurking around. I'll be at X Games the whole time. You know, I want to go see some rally car and some of the motocross and definitely the freestyle. So I'll be around at all the other events for X Games. But as far as the parties go beforehand, I'm not really trying to make it to too many of the pre-parties for X Games.
Gotcha. Hey, we gotta bring a caller on here. Lisa has been patiently holding on. She heard we were gonna talk to you and she had a question. Lisa, hi, you're on with Ryan Sheckler on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go ahead.
Greetings, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May, Psycho Mike, especially Kevin.
Greetings,
Ryan
Lisa.
What's up? I love you. Congratulations on being a skater who cares to help. What had made you get together with Make-A-Wish?
What made you get together with Make-A-Wish?
Yeah, what was the reason you got together with that organization?
I got together with that organization through a couple years ago. I met this girl named Casey, and she had really bad cancer, and she had just made it out of the surgeries, and she made it out of all the therapy. And I met her at a skateboard contest, and she told me that she just wanted to be normal, and she was having the same problems I was because whatever I couldn't, you know, whatever drama was going on with my MTV show. But she really. Right. You know, she hit my heart and she told me she just wanted to be normal as well because she was diagnosed with cancer. So from that point on, I always wanted to work with Make-A-Wish, and it just worked out so great that, you know, they saw what we were doing, and now we're partners and we work a lot together. So I'm very happy to be a part of Make-A-Wish, and, you know, I love that they work with us.
I bet that's got to be one of the most rewarding things you do all year long, too, is when you get a chance to give back that way in such a significant way to those kids who really need it.
Oh, it's crazy. It's the best feeling ever. It's the best feeling you can get. It's better than winning a contest.
Lisa, hold on. Well, it's not better than winning the gold, though.
Is it? No, it's not, but when you're helping someone.
I want to meet you.
Lisa, hold on. We're gonna give you tickets to X Games, okay?
Awesome.
All right, hold on. Thank you.
Great.
Lisa will check out the Skate Vert and the Skate Best Trick at the Nokia Theater this Friday. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. Last question for you, Ryan, because we won't talk to you before you get on the board. What's your pre-X Games ritual? Is there anything special you'll do when you wake up on Saturday to kind of prepare either mentally or physically right before you go down there?
Yeah, I'll probably listen to some loud music, probably put some Lil Wayne on, a little Carter 2, get it going.
All right. There you go. All right, Lil Wayne.
Know, man. I just pray. I take a couple deep breaths and I pray, and then I just walk out on the course and leave it in God's hands, man.
It's going to be a great year this year. X Games 16 is Thursday through Sunday. ESPN is going to be airing 31 hours of HD programming and 8 hours of 3D programming.
That's so sweet. Cool.
Like, watch the X Games in 3D. So you can watch that on ESPN, ESPN2. And Ryan Sheckler has been our guest, and he will be there all day Saturday and part of Sunday. And he said he's going to be lurking. That's his word.
Lurking. Yeah,
I'm lurking around.
Sounds a little creepy to me, so be careful, ladies. Ryan, always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thanks a lot for coming on, dude.
Right on, guys.
Thank
See you later.
Bye. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. We are presenting Road Trip USA stop number 4. It begins today. Alice in Chains and Deftones in Seattle. Qualify all week with tickets to see Alice in Chains and Deftones October 12th at Gibson Amphitheater. Plus, you could win a 2011 Scion XP.
Scion!
Equipped with custom Kumho tires.
Hey!
I hate you both. It's 8:51.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. The angriest man in the world, the Winnebago man, joins us coming up next on The Kevin and Bean Show. We've been fascinated with this guy for so long, I can't believe we're going to get a chance to talk to him.
Hey, Jack, what if someone wants an autograph? Will you sign autograph?
Come. Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of guy... That's the kind of guy we love and we'll be dealing with coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, it's Monday. Ralph joins us for the show. Biz B, what's going on?
I hope he just blasts you guys.
Me too.
I hope he just lays you out. What kind of goddamn stupid question is that?
Me too. Effing flies.
Effing DJs. Best.
It's got to be weird for him because everyone who meets him now expects him to be that guy from the Winnebago Man clip. They expect him to be angry all the time.
Well,
that's a lot of pressure.
It turns out he is, so that works.
When he's being nice, it's fake him. Real him is that guy.
Yeah.
God bless him. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Inception, continues to hold the number one slot, $43.5 million. Kept it there over the weekend. Kevin, did you figure it out yet? Getting anything?
Dude, I had it at the beginning. I want to see it again to reinforce some of my theories.
Salt, starring the lovely Angelina Jolie and the very talented Liev Schreiber, came in at number two this weekend, $36.5 million.
I could watch her every week kick ass and take names like she does. She's a good spy.
I know I've mentioned this 100 times, but I did the panel for Salt at Comic-Con, and she knows who she is and the effect that she has on people. And I got the sense that she was really going out of her way to try to put people at ease, because everyone gets a little wigged out when she shows up.
Yeah. Did she ask about anyone in specific?
Did Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin?
Yes. Will you stop playing that nope. question if I say yes?
It makes no difference. Oh, you know that.
Okay. All right. Despicable Me was third at the box office. The Sorcerer's Apprentice, Toy Story 3, Grown Ups, The Twilight Saga, Eclipse was seventh. The Last Airbender was eighth. Ramona and Beezus came in at number nine. And Predators routed out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Lindsay Lohan is caged heat, you know.
Yes, she is.
She's inside.
Oh.
Hungry for a man.
She's not hungry for a man.
Soft flesh behind steel bars and stone walls. She aches for the touch of a man, any man.
We need to do Cage Heat this week.
We will do Cage Heat this week, I promise you. She is not making any new friends inside the Huskow.
You think she'd make all friends inside the Huskow?
Well, apparently, first she's in solitary.
Right.
Because her weeping was bothering the other prisoners, according to stories coming up from inside Linwood.
Oh, my God.
Also, Maria Medina, an inmate who recently was released from Linwood, said that whenever Lindsay's moving or needs anything, the entire facility goes on lockdown.
Oh, that must get annoying.
So that no one can, you know,
sure,
accidentally shiver. So the rest of the inmates are getting furious because there's so many lockdowns.
Right.
Because every time they move her, she needs something, something happens. All right, lock it down. And then no one can, you have to go back to your cell and wait.
She needs a tissue. Out.
Yeah, so not making friends at Linwood. They're starting to get a little cheesed off at the behavior surrounding her incarceration. You know, one thing you want to be, when you get into jail, you want a nice, consistent experience. You know, you don't want your day rattled. It's hard enough being in jail. You want the simple things in life.
You don't hear a lot about weeping. It may happen, but you don't hear a lot about it.
There's a lot of crying in prison.
Sure, but you don't hear about it.
Not in baseball, ever. But in prison, there's a lot of crying. John Hamm, star of Mad Men. So good last night. They had their premiere episode last night on AMC. Phew, man.
Blew my mind.
You didn't watch, Kevin, because you haven't watched any of Mad Men.
That's true.
But the show is brilliant, and this season is really going to be fun because they've sort of blown the doors off of everything you know about the
really
show.
They really shook it up.
He didn't always have such cool roles as Don Draper, however. He says in Us Weekly magazine that his first acting role ever was as Winnie the Pooh in first grade. Oh, I bet he met a sexy Winnie the Pooh. In that suit and tie, smoking a cigarette, carrying a big honeypot.
I don't think he was doing all that then.
Banging Eeyore up against the wall of his apartment or whatever.
Oh, my God.
The best.
Eeyore complaining about how it wasn't good sex.
And lastly, Alfred Molina has been added to the cast of the latest Law & Order from NBC. Law & Order Los Angeles. Alfred Molina, you know, probably for his role as Dr. Octopus in Spider-Man 2. He was most recently in The Sorcerer's Apprentice with Nicolas Cage. Very, very, very talented actor. He'll be playing a deputy DA in the new fall season. I'm assuming he'll be doing an American accent because it takes place in Los Angeles, and he's a Brit.
Sure.
But that is certainly not a rare situation on television these days. Brits coming here taking all our jobs.
Like they do.
Like they do.
Is there a Law and Order for every city now, or does it just...
They got four cities left, I think, that don't have one yet. I think Law and Order Pacoima, they're tuning that up for next season. And there's a couple others as well. But I'm glad to say he's going to be on, because he's good.
He is good.
Pacoima. Law and Order Pacoima would be awesome.
They have it. It's called Cops.
Today's celebrity birthday is Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones is 67 years old today. He's got some lips.
He does.
Mike, how is that useful information for us?
He's lippy.
For you to yell out lips.
Because we didn't know.
Because we didn't know. Yeah. Okay.
Mike felt no one had heard from him in 30 seconds, and that's just not acceptable.
I'm over here, guys. Hey.
Ah, look at me. Ah, ah.
I support Lips. I think that's a great thing
to
shout.
I think the worst thing that ever happened is that Psycho Mike got his own radio show in Loveline because now he thinks all shows are his show.
Yeah, you'd think he'd be able to channel that energy into his show and that would be enough, but now he thinks he's everywhere.
I mean, how often does Ralph drive down to Loveline and jump in and scream on your air when you're trying to do a show?
Anal sex!
Just yell stuff in the back of the room.
He doesn't do that to you, Mike.
I wish he would. Virginity!
I wish he would.
Please come in anytime.
That would be ideal.
Speaking of losing your virginity, Dr. Drew, this is Gene Simmons. I just come in and just start interrupting anytime I want to, just putting my stuff out there. Yeah.
But make sure it's not funny and ill-timed.
And really intrusive. Roger Taylor of Queen is 61 years old today. Kevin Spacey turns 51. Sandra Bullock is 46 years old today. Jim Lindbergh of Pennywise celebrates his 45th birthday, as does Jared.
You say of Pennywise or ex-Pennywise?
Ex-Pennywise, yeah. He's 45 years old today. Jeremy Piven is 45 years old as well.
Who's Jeremy Piven?
We don't know.
He's the actor from Entourage. Kate Beckinsale is 37 years old today. Taylor Momsen from Gossip Girl celebrates her 17th birthday today. You know, Taylor said the way to survive in show business is to never Google yourself. She said she made the mistake of that once, and people were so mean to her, she said she never got over it. So she will never Google herself again.
I tried it once, and there were no entries, so I was bummed.
That is a bummer.
That's worse.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, fresh off the Comic-Con weekend. If you missed our interview with two of the stars of The Expendables, Randy Couture and Stone Cold Steve Austin, we've got that for you coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That movie looks awesome, by the way.
Yes, it does.
But not as great as the Winnebago Man YouTube clip.
Oh, we're so excited about
that. The Winnebago Concepts and Engineering Departments have developed a multifunctional bathroom. Privacy, I don't even know what the f*** I'm reading. I wonder what the f*** the real dialogue is. What the f*** is this thing? All of the windshield per f***. Say, oh, what? What the f- did I say? Oh, f- oh, f- we got flies all over the f- place. Son of a bitch. Get out of here, you f- flies.
Well, like millions of others, you've seen and enjoyed the clip. Now there's a movie to go along with it, the Winnebago Man documentary.
Winnebago Man, Winnebago Man. He doesn't know his dialogue, and it makes him as mad as f-
Let's walk into the program the director, writer, producer of the Winnebago Man documentary, Ben Steinbauer, who joins us on the phone, and the star himself, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Winnebago Man, Jack Rebney, both on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, guys.
Hello,
how are you?
How are you?
Very good.
Doing great, sir. Thank you so much for joining us. Ben, I want to start with you. I know you explained it in the movie, but for our listeners, how does a guy go from seeing a clip on YouTube and saying that's funny to, wow, I got to make a movie about this?
Well, I'm something of an internet stalker, I guess. I knew that Jack would be an amazing character, and I thought, you know, this idea of unintended celebrity and not wanting this kind of notoriety was something that was just coming about with 2005 and YouTube being invented and blah, blah, blah. So I thought, I've got to find the star of my favorite clip, which I think you guys will agree is Winnebago Man and is Jack Rebney.
We could listen to it forever, Jack. And I wonder why that is. I wonder if it's because you're angry at yourself. For some reason, it's so refreshing and funny. And most of the time when people are cursing and yelling, you don't want to hear it.
Well, I think there must be something obvious about this. There are, I don't know how many thousand people, what has it been, something like 20 million people have watched the clip.
Right.
And and now we're in theaters all over the country, and the reaction of the people that see the film is very straightforward. They walk up to me, they put their arms around me, and you know, you got to be careful when you're in LA when they're doing that.
Of course.
And the first thing they say is, it's us. You're talking about everything that I go through every day of my life.
Yeah.
And there's the key right there. It's as simple as that.
Now, Jack, you tried very hard, it appears at the beginning of the movie, to not be found. I mean, it was really difficult for Ben to track you down.
It's not a question of not being found. I know where I am.
Not you, but I'm saying, did you try to get you didn't even know what was going on, did you?
No, of course I didn't know. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks before finally Ben and I spoke, and a friend of mine called, and he said, have you pulled yourself up on the tube lately? And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, you're all over the damn place. And I said, huh? And he said, it's you.
And so he played some of it for me, and of course I agreed. I said, yeah, that's me. That's it. You know, and by the way, don't call me a star. I'm more or less of a black hole rather than a star.
Oh, but I love you so much.
No, you're selling yourself short here. Now, Jack, we could tell in the movie, and again, we're talking about Winnebago Man in theaters now at the Lemley Sunset 5 in L.A., Regency South Coast in Santa Ana. You were not necessarily on board out of the gate with them wasting more of your time and turning this into a documentary. Why'd you finally agree to do it, Jack?
Because I saw, first of all, the first thing I saw is a young man, a professional young man who teaches the art and the science, if you will, of media and communications at the University of Texas. And I recognized this young fellow actually knew what the hell he was doing. And I thought to myself, well, wait a minute, maybe there is something here. Because good grief, we surely do need filmmakers who know what they're doing. And I began to recognize that, and I thought, all right, that's one of the reasons. The other one was that I've, for years and years, decades, I've been doing socio-political commentary on radio and television, and I thought, all right, maybe this is an opportunity to be able to bring my views to a larger audience.
Now, Ben,
and as it turns out, that's what happened.
Yeah. Now, Ben, having seen the movie, explain to us what your response was when you first found Jack.
Well, I was going to say, that was the first time I've heard Jack ever say that I knew what I was doing. that was a nice surprise. When I first tracked down Mr. Redney, and this is part of a larger thesis, if you will, in the film, is that I'm thinking that he's become a hermit and sequestered himself because he's embarrassed by all the notoriety. And come to find out, when we first meet, it couldn't be further from the truth. He's very dignified and thinks, well, you know, what's the big deal? Ha, ha, ha. This is funny that this is out there, but it's, you know, that's me. What's, you know, who cares?
Right, but he was being so kind that I was disappointed. Like, that's not what I wanted.
Well, but the thing you have to understand about Jack, which I think you're hearing now, is that in order to swear that well, you have to be that well-spoken.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jack, it's a little bit of a disconnect, but he's a brilliant guy.
Jack is not a guy like many people who use those words because they can't come up with the other words. He uses those words because he knows how effective and how powerful they are. That's the sense that I get. Let's hear
with swear words. Exactly.
Exactly.
He's an artist, yes.
Let's hear a clip from the documentary again in theaters now called Winnebago Man. And this is at the very opening of the film. And this is when I knew that I wasn't just in love with the Jack Redney of the Winnebago Man YouTube clip. This is when I knew I was in love with the 2010 Jack Redney. Listen to his reaction to Ben as Ben's trying to talk him into doing the film.
I don't give a f-. I'm 78 years old. Why should I put up with this? We're going to make no difference whatsoever, because the only thing it will ultimately come to is that, well, this guy's been crazy all his life.
That's,
you know,
that's not true. That'll humanize
that. Of course
you.
It is. No, it will not humanize.
Yes,
it.
Yes, that'll make people understand.
That's your
who
opinion,
you
Ben. It ain't mine.
Well, but I don't understand. The movie's about me.
Don't. Come on. Don't tell
you
me.
You know what this is? This is about who you are and what your past experiences have been.
No, no.
And what you've learned.
Oh, well, like, sure. You want to talk about me?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm trying to talk about you.
Yeah.
You're not
well,
letting me talk.
I don't.
Jack's my man. Jack's. I hope to be Jack one day.
You are Jack now, by the way.
Winnebago Man in theaters now. Lemley Sunset 5 in L.A., the Regency South Coast Cinema in Santa Ana. And if you're listening across this great land of ours, just do a Google search for Winnebago Man or go to moviephone.com. Seriously, Ben, brilliant work. So glad you put the effort in. Jack, thank you for letting us into your life in the later years and getting a chance to catch up with the Winnebago Man. We've really, really enjoyed talking to you, and we love the movie. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Good. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 941.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Ralph, I'm glad you're here. Before you get to the showbiz beat, though, tomorrow on the show, we are going to be talking about Don Draper and his sexual proclivities, where he has the hooker hit him in the face.
Oh, Drapey.
I know you know something about that, of the psychology of what's going on with that, people.
Don
but tomorrow,
needs to be punished. Don needs to be punished.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yep.
That's one of the things we're going to be doing on tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show is discussing that, because there are a lot, apparently, not an insignificant number of people who are kind of into that pain during sex.
That's something Betty could never give him.
That's right.
She didn't roll that way.
The Don Draper hooker punch played right after Rage on Friday night.
Oh, were they?
I heard benefit. They were good.
Very good. Also tomorrow we have Matt Hoffman from the X Games as we continue to give away tickets
and
to the
Rain
X
Man, of course. Don't forget.
And Rain Man.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, never mind. Different guy.
Wow. Yeah, different guy. Yeah. All right, so that's all tomorrow morning. First, it's time for another Ralph Showbizby. What do you got for us, Ralph?
Well, it's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Inception continues holding on to the number one slot, $43.5 million it made this weekend. That's over $100 million in two weekends.
That's good, right?
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That Leonardo DiCaprio, by the way, is a great actor.
Yes.
I think so, too.
Doesn't always make great choices.
Right.
In his films.
He's always good, though.
But he is always good. And that's the mark of a real good actor, I think. If you can be good in less than good films.
Even in a bad movie? Yeah.
Yeah, that's exceptional.
Yep.
Salt, starring Angelina Jolie and Liev Schreiber. Came in at number two with $36.5 million.
She's better than that movie.
That's what I heard.
How dare you?
You should see it. She's amazing. You don't understand it, but it doesn't matter.
Oh. I disagree. But she's better than that movie.
You understood it?
It's too easy. You can see it coming.
That's
my complaint. But she's great to watch.
How's Liev Schreiber in it? I love him. He's a great actor.
He's great.
We did the panel at Comic-Con for Salt, and she was going on and on and on about how she did her stunts. She did almost all of her own stunts.
The action is really worth going to see alone. To see it alone is just eye candy. It's great.
Philip Noyce, the director, said, we tried to allow Angelina to do all the stunts that she could, as much as we could, but she would have done even more if she'd been able to do that. And someone asked Liev Schreiber, how do you decide whether to do a stunt or whether to let the stuntman do it? What's the line for you? And he said, if there's any way I could tear my clothes or get them dirty in any way, is there any rapidly moving towards or near my face, if there's anything that may cause me to run or
exert myself physically,
then I let them do it. Those are the only exceptions.
Really. Her clothing was torn the entire movie.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I guess she takes her panties off and puts them on the camera.
That does happen.
Yeah, that does happen.
Oh yeah.
Despicable Me was third at the box office. The Sorcerer's Apprentice was fourth. Toy Story 3.
It was a long weekend.
Ralph had a very long weekend.
A long weekend. Grown Ups was sixth. The Twilight Eclipse was seventh. The Last Airbender, Ramona and Beezus, and Predators rounding out your top 10 at the box office.
What did you do?
What did I do?
What did you do?
Thank God Amanda Bynes is back.
Oh, that is good news.
She has unretired, people.
Oh, woo! Wow. We can have a party.
Back in the business. In June, she announced her retirement. Everybody went, eh. And now she's tweeted, I've unretired. Everybody went, eh. And then she promptly promoted her next movie, Easy A, which comes out September 17th, apparently. So, anyone?
No.
Yeah.
She could be cute.
I think she's real fun, too. She's a talented actress who's very entertaining in lightweight roles.
Sure.
And I think, if I remember correctly from what I read about that film, it has to do with you provide sexual favors in order to get an Easy A in your college class. I think that's what the movie may be about.
All right.
So that might be all right.
Now I'm more in.
Yeah. Kate Winslet is taking dating tips from Madonna.
Ew.
I hope she's stocked up on her antibiotics.
Wow.
If you're going to take dating tips from Madonna, you're going to catch something. apparently, she's been spending quality time with a gentleman that she met through Madonna's company. And he is a Burberry model named Louis Dowler, I guess. But Kate Winslet, get herself a little model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not too shabby. Kate Goslet, another Kate, very different.
Can get no one.
Is, surprisingly, now according to this Us Weekly magazine story, not easy to get along with.
Are you kidding?
Yes.
She seems so easy and level-headed on the show.
Tony Dovolani, I don't know, partner on Dancing with the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, is telling people that he is so happy to be away from her. He really needed a break by the time it was all done.
Wow.
He has no interest in keeping in touch with her.
She's never going to get another man because she's got that plus eight kids. I mean, eight kids, if you're the hottest chick in the world, is tough to overcome.
Yeah.
I think he's really just wanting to bust out of here and try to make it all go away, which, again, newsflash, it's not going to.
Yeah. She gets her hooks into you.
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan! Not making any friends in the clink.
Hmm.
apparently she's sobbing a lot, and that's making people cheesed off. They're tired of hearing her cry.
A bit of crying, Lindsay.
Hey, how about less sobbing?
Maria Medina, a recently released fellow inmate from Linwood, tells People magazine that the entire facility is put on lockdown whenever Lindsay needs anything or needs to be moved at any time, and everyone's getting a little ticked off that they got to go back into their cell and have the doors locked every time they move her around the facility.
Huh.
Also, reports are coming that Lindsay, one of the reasons Lindsay may be sobbing, is the constant taunting in Linwood. Apparently, many of the women are screaming out "fire crotch" when she is
awesome.
When she is in within range to hear, and that perhaps is one of the reasons she's not doing so well.
I hear this.
But Lindsay Lohan is a fire crotch, and she has freckles coming out of her and her is 7 feet long.
Wow.
That's long.
Isn't
that longer than average?
That's a gift.
I think so.
That's a gift right there. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Oh, no, I forgot my favorite story of the day. I almost forgot to do this one.
But first, the favorite story of the day.
Kings of Leon were pooped on this weekend.
Omar?
The popular band Kings of Leon was forced to end a concert in St. Louis last night after playing just three songs because a flock of pigeons swarmed the stage and proceeded to defecate all over them. I'm serious.
Are you sure they weren't seagulls?
This wasn't just one.
Oh, whoa.
Because I said flock of pigeons.
Yeah, I heard you.
I couldn't resist. I could. I thought. I said, file. I'm not going to say it. Not going to say it. I
just
couldn't
file.
Stop myself.
Well, you should have. File.
I instantly got Tourette's. I couldn't help myself. I apologize.
These pigeons were apparently perched there at the outdoor amphitheater. And then when Kings of Leon started to play, they started bombing runs on the stage.
Like organized? All right,
idea.
Group one, go in.
They call themselves the Alvarez Squadron. I don't know if that means anything. I don't know.
You guys were so good.
They had little t-shirts made up, little pigeon t-shirts. I don't know if that means anything.
But wait, let me ask a question, because everybody's been pooped on, right?
Let me get to this, okay? They played three songs and then quit because Jared Falwell, a pigeon pooped in his mouth.
Oh.
That's when he decided to call it quits. Okay, your question, Kevin?
You have... I don't know how many people were there. 15,000? How big the arena was or whatever.
It was a Verizon Wireless Amphitheater in St. Louis. So
probably more than
the same size as the one we had here in L.A.
Go on with the show, man.
Yeah.
Wash out your mouth and move on.
Rock and roll.
You canceled the show?
I think it's a health hazard at that point.
Ozzy bit the head off a bat and kept performing, okay?
I'm saying
rock and roll.
I'm saying wash out your mouth. You're all right.
This is all on the venue, by the way. They knew that they had this pigeon infestation above the stage. They knew that they had it. And the opening acts both got pelted, too, and they played. There were two opening acts, and they both performed.
What's happening there?
Kings of Leon gets on. They go, no, not going to do it.
So, anyway, that's my favorite story.
That's the best story.
Today's celebrity birthday is Mick Jagger. The Rolling Stones is 67. Helen Mirren celebrates her 65th birthday. She's starring in a new movie, Red, that had a lot of buzz at Comic-Con as well. A lot of people were talking about it.
Hang on, Rob.
Apparently, it's very, very entertaining.
Okay, back to you.
Wow. It's a Belle War. It's a Belle War going on today. That's all I can say.
Well, she's 100. She's way
she looks
attractive,
amazing.
Though.
She does look good.
For 100!
No,
she's attractive.
And, Ralph, isn't she... she's topless in that new movie she did about the brothel in Nevada, right?
Yeah.
She's playing the madam in that movie, and she's topless.
Not interested!
I'm very interested.
Not interested!
Roger Taylor, drummer of the legendary band Queen, is 61 years old today. In a completely unrelated story, Kevin Spacey celebrates his 51st birthday today. Sandra Bullock is 46. Jeremy Piven, star of Entourage, is 45 years old today. Chris Harrison, the man who hosts The Bachelor over there on ABC, is 39. Kate Beckinsale celebrates her 37th birthday.
God. There you go.
And Taylor Momsen from Gossip Girl is 17 years old today.
She's going to be hot
in 1 year.
God.
What did you do?
What is that from me?
Any day.
Any day.
Every day.
What did you
Lisa?
Do? Every day.
Omar just,
for you.
Omar just said it to me, though, and it just cracks me up so much because it's you pretending to be a professional broadcaster.
Do you happen to remember what specific situation that was from?
We'll have to ask O. O would be able to tell
okay.
us.
Can I hear it again, please?
Let's move on. What did you do? This is big fun.
Okay. Center. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.